It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
A private Christian college in Missouri, the College of the Ozarks, remains in the battle to oppose a government policy essentially requiring the school to place students in dormitories according to their sexual orientation and gender identity rather than their biological sex.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, so the Biden administration is faced with this crisis on the border. They're apparently trying to empty this thing out as fast as possible. It's like Gavin Newsom emptying out all the freeway underpasses right before the recall election. And all the homeless people are back, by the way. I'm in California right now, and I just went and checked under the freeway underpasses. They are all back because Gavin Newsom was not, in fact, recalled. So Joe Biden is doing the same thing at the southern border. Apparently, a lot of the southern border area under the Del Rio Bridge was cleared, but there's still about 5,000 people who apparently are staying there, according to Politico. A report from Renuka Ryasam over at Politico saying that things are winding down. There's still 5,000 people in the camp. That's much lower than the 15,000 person peak. Mexico has cracked down on the Acuna side, so it'll be difficult for more people to show up. I guess maybe by the beginning of next week, there'll be very few people left, if any, but it's still a zoo because there are so many people, it's hard for volunteers to keep up. He said, I met some asylum seekers at the airport. They said they would be sleeping on the bench. I gave them the number to the Haitian Bridge Alliance to see if they could help them find accommodations. They said there's nothing in a 100-mile radius. They have the money to buy a hotel room, but no options. So they've been sleeping on the streets. So things are obviously going really, really well over at the southern border. And the Biden administration has come up with a solution. They're going to blame it on the horses. So you remember, over the past several days, there's been this myth that Border Patrol is going around and whipping Haitian migrants, like whipping them, like taking whips and hitting them with the whips, like slave patrols or something. Well, as it turned out, those are called horse reins, and you use them when you are riding a horse. As I said yesterday, I may not be much of a cowboy, but I've seen enough cowboy movies to know what it looks like when you hit a horse on the flanks with the reins of the horse. Apparently, the Biden administration, however, has fallen full scale into the narrative that the Border Patrol here are the bad guys. And so they've decided there will be no more horse patrols. They're actually suspending one of the parts of the Border Patrol that actually polices the border in the middle of a border crisis in order to satiate the idiotic media who don't know how horses work. Nick Miroff over at the Washington Post reports, the Biden administration has now directed U.S. border officials to suspend patrols by agents on horseback in the Del Rio, Texas migrant camp. Psaki said Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas told civil rights leaders Thursday morning, we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. Here was Psaki announcing just this.
We feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response.
They shoot horses, don't they? Just blame the horses. So here you have a bunch of people trying to hoof it across the border. And the Biden administration is unable to rein it in. So finally, Biden just said, nay. Well, the main point is that all of this is just horseshit, because there is no rationale for it whatsoever. Okay, they literally took the people who are policing. What, are they going to put them on segways out there? Like, this is rough terrain in the middle of a river. So you're just going to have Paul Blart, Border Patrol agent, wandering around there out on his segway, trying to stop people from crossing the border illegally. This is their solution. Because, of course, it is never about actually solving the problem. It is just about the political spin of the moment. This administration has no long-term vision, other than just spending oodles of money and making lots of people dependent. They have no long-term strategic vision. Everything is just news cycle of the moment. And honestly, some of this is due to social media and just the nature of things, which is that if you just wait long enough, it will get out of the news, right? We still have thousands of green card holders stuck behind enemy lines thanks to the Taliban and the Biden administration, and no one cares anymore. We just forgot about them. They don't matter. Okay, that it's not even the end of September yet. Okay, we only left like a little over 3 weeks ago, and everyone just forgot about the tens of thousands of SIV holders and the thousands of green card holders in Afghanistan, and the Taliban are taking over, and their leadership is saying we're chopping off hands again. It's, you know, we're back. They're back and better than ever. The boys are back, and they're ready to chop off some hands. And the Biden administration is like, well, the news cycle moved on. And you know what? That was the plan. Their plan is always, can we delay long enough for people to forget about what's going on and move on to the next short-lived news cycle? That's always what this is. And so every answer from Jen Psaki is not directed at actually providing information. It's all directed at kind of these snarky little comebacks that don't make any sense if you think about them for 10 seconds. So, for example, Peter Doocy is asking about the fact that there are a bunch of people who are being deported into the – not deported. They're being shipped into the interior of the United States. There have been reports now from the Associated Press, from NBC News, that people are literally just being released into the interior of the United States. And all women have to do to be released is claim that they are pregnant, which means that the border is not actually under control. So Peter Doocy asks Psaki about this and listens to her answer. And the entire media is like, slay, queen, because all that matters is the headline of the moment. This is what, by the way, the media couldn't stand it when it was Trump. When it was Trump, Trump figured that too. He figured, okay, I'll just do whatever I do, and 5 minutes later, the news cycle will move on. But Biden is taking advantage of the exact same effect. And because the media are a bunch of squirrels, and they just want to run after the next nut they see, they will... By this time next week, no one will be talking about the border crisis anymore. We'll be on to whatever the next thing is. Psaki knows that, so she can do these slay queen idiotic little lines that make no sense. Here we go.
Are you suggesting you don't believe when women say they're pregnant? Is that a big issue, we think, at the border?
I am not in charge of keeping the border secure.
Do you think pregnant women are posing a big threat to the border?
You tell me.
To the border communities?
You
is that a big issue?
You tell me.
I'm not aware of pregnant women being a big issue of concern to people at the border.
That's not even what Doocy was talking about. What Doocy was saying is you obviously don't have control of the border. You're letting people in. You're not testing people for COVID. You're not testing people who claim they're pregnant so that they can just come into the country. So why exactly would we believe that you have any significant standards for how the border is being policed? And instead, Psaki's like, what do you have against pregnant women? You don't like pregnant women? Are you saying these women are lying about their pregnancy? Don't you know believe all women? Like, what in the hell are you talking about? That's not even the question. Like, if you ask her a question that doesn't fit into the neat little intersectional box, just rams it into the intersectional box, and the entire media cheers like a bunch of crazy people. Meanwhile, I got this administration ripping its own Haiti envoy. So there's a special envoy to Haiti. The special envoy to Haiti quit because they looked at the Biden administration policies, and they said, this is idiotic. Either you got to let people in or you got to not let people in, but you can't do this sort of half-assed routine. So Psaki just starts ripping her own Haiti envoy. Imagine if the special envoy to Haiti under Donald Trump had quit, and then Trump had gotten up and been like, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. He's the worst. It'd be like, look at him disrespecting members of his own administration. Look at that. What? Violation of norms. Here's Jen Psaki just doing this and everybody going, okay.
Special Envoy Foote had ample opportunity to raise concerns about migration during his tenure. He never once did so. Now, that wasn't his purview. His purview was, of course, being the special envoy on the ground. His positions were and his views were put forward. They were valued. They were heard. Different policy decisions were made in some circumstances.
Oh, well, I guess that, then it's okay. Like, there's no big deal anymore. Okay, in just a second, we'll get to the fact that Democrats on the border who actually have to live in these areas are still pretty ticked about all of this, and it has not, in fact, been solved. First, here's the reality. You don't need a big phone carrier to get great coverage anymore, which is why so many customers have been abandoning Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and their overpriced wireless plans that pay for their thousands of retail stores, their latest social initiatives, and those added perks that you pay for but never actually use. Instead, hundreds of thousands of smart families are saving over $800 a year by switching to PureTalk without having to sacrifice coverage. That's because PureTalk is on the exact same network as one of the big three. So, what is your excuse? I made the switch. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you still want unlimited data, you can get that too and still save a fortune. Go to puretalk.com, enter your address to check the coverage at your home or office, and then shop for the plan that's exactly right for you. You can even use their savings calculator to see just how much your family will save. Go to puretalk.com, enter promo code Shapiro. You will save 50% off your very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com. Promo code Shapiro. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Okay, so even Democrats are looking at the Biden administration and saying this is ridiculous. Democratic Representative Frederica Wilson, who until now is most famous for wearing crazy hats, she says Haitian immigrants are showing up because they hear that the border is open.
There are cottage industries that have grown around the border, where we have people, smugglers, who are passing information to Haitian refugees, Haitian immigrants that come. The border is open, so they have saved their money. They have paid.
And that is Frederica Wilson, a Democrat from Florida. Democratic Representative Henry Cuellar is saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, remember that time when they sent Kamala Harris down here and she was supposed to solve everything? It turns out Kamala Harris has never been able to solve a single thing.
You point out these tens of thousands of Haitian migrants that are that we know about in Latin America, possibly making their way north, hoping to get to the border between Mexico and the U.S. In the wake of Vice President Harris's trip to Latin America, what do you think the impact has been? Has anything changed?
Without due respect, no.
No. Without due respect. The harsh words there from Henry Cuellar. Of course nothing has changed. Because the Biden administration has no actual policy. They just have, what can we do at this moment to just get beyond what exactly is the issue? Whatever we can do at this moment to get beyond the issue. Okay, so what is the actual long-term vision here? As I said, there's no actual strategy here. There is a long-term vision. The long-term vision is, what if we just tax the living hell out of everything that moves, tax it until it dies, and then we use the roadkill? What if we just do that? We'll just tax everything that moves, and we'll spend ungodly amounts of money, effectively nationalizing half of American industries through regulation, right? Either overtly nationalizing industries, or by expanding things like Medicaid and Medicare, or actively using regulation to the extent that effectively the government has prevented you from all of your property rights being exercised, right? The right to property is not merely the right to own a thing. It is the right to dispose of that thing. It is the right to use the thing. If the government gets rid of many of the sticks in the bundle of property rights, effectively, it is no longer your full property. This is part of Joe Biden's actual proposal, right? You will not be in control of your own economic freedom. You will not be in control of your own economic life. And he justifies all of this with just pure idiotic, envious class warfare. So he tweeted out again today. This is it's just his shtick. He is just Bernie Sanders now. Quote, folks, I don't want to punish anyone's success, but those at the top have been getting a free ride for far too long. We're going to change that. It's just pure envy. It's pure class warfare politics. Now, none of this applies to Joe Biden himself. According to a report in the New York Post, quote, Republicans say a new nonpartisan report indicates President Joe Biden improperly avoided paying Medicare taxes before he took office, raising eyebrows and the possibility he now owes the IRS as much as $500,000 in back taxes. Biden is leading a Democratic push for a $3.5 trillion bill to subsidize child care, education, and health care by targeting tax avoidance. But a House Ways and Means Committee drafted the bill when it ended an accounting trick apparently exploited by Biden and boosted IRS funding for audits. According to Jim Banks, who is the chairman of the Conservative Republican Study Committee from Indiana, Joe Biden wants to raise taxes by $2.1 trillion while claiming the rich need to pay their fair share. But in 2017, multimillionaire Joe Biden skirted his payroll taxes, the very taxes that fund Medicare and Obamacare. According to the criteria provided by the Congressional Research to my office, he owes the IRS and the American people hundreds of thousands of dollars in back taxes. Every American should know about Joe Biden's tax hypocrisy. By the way, it doesn't just apply to Joe Biden. It also applies to Hunter. And remember, Hunter Biden is only rich because daddy is Hunter, is Joe. That's the only reason anyone has ever heard of Hunter Biden, who's a derelict and a terrible person. And I know, a wayward child. We're supposed to treat him like a wayward child, even though he is like 15 years, 16 years older than I am. And we're supposed to treat him like he's a wayward child. He's well into his 50s at this point. Okay, but apparently Hunter Biden, when he's not trying to sell his finger paintings for millions of dollars in a pretty obvious bribery operation, when he's not doing that, apparently, according to Business Insider, he's attempting to leverage his daddy's job in order to make money. And this goes all the way back to when his daddy was VP. According to Business Insider, two previously unpublished emails sent by business contacts of Hunter Biden indicate the president's son requested an annual retainer of $2 million to help recover billions in Libyan assets frozen by the Obama administration. The emails obtained by Insider during reporting on an unrelated matter are not connected to the controversial emails from Hunter Biden's laptop. While it appears from the new emails that the Libya deal was never consummated, the document offers a window into the mechanics of Beltway influence peddling and the stock that was put in Biden's political connections, particularly his relationship with his daddy, who was VP at the time. The first email, dated January 28, 2015, was sent from Sam Jouari, a Democratic donor with businesses in the Persian Gulf, who has helped spearheading a Libya project. It was addressed to Sheikh Mohammed al-Rahbani, another Obama campaign donor involved in the proposal. In the email, Jouari is frank about what Biden would bring to the table and what he says Biden wanted in return. Quote, per phone conversation I met with number two son, He wants $2 million per year, retainer, plus success fees. He wants to hire his own people. It can be a close circle of people for confidentiality. His dad is deciding to run or not. His positives are he is chairman of the UN World Food Program, son of number two who has Libya file, access to state, treasury business partners, Secretary of State John F. Kerry, son, and since he travels with dad, he's connected everywhere in Europe and Asia. He has said he has access to the highest levels in PRC and can help there as well. His negatives are that he is alcoholic, drug addict, kicked out of the U.S. Army for cocaine, chasing low-class hookers, constantly needs money liquidity problems, and many more headaches. We should meet in G-Strad or London to decide next steps. So, well, I mean, that's a pretty accurate summing up of everything related to Hunter Biden. But again, the rule is you can be rich, and you can influence peddle, and you can be corrupt as all hell, as long as you proclaim that you are for the socialist ideal of complete redistribution of income. And that's the whole shtick. Because the more that Democrats claim that they are for redistribution of income, the more they hope to change the nature of how American government is done. Which brings us to the budget. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like walking your dog in public without, you know, putting a leash on your dog. Most of the time you're fine, but what if one day your dog wanders a bit too far and something bad happens? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, financial details, you name it. And today, it doesn't take advanced technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. A smart 12-year-old could do it. That's why I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Not only is it incredibly secure, it is also super easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected. ExpressVPN works on phones, laptops, tablets, all your devices, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/ben. That's expressvpn.com/ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/ben. 3 months for free. Protect your internet data today. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Coming up, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they're trying to iron out all their budget differences. It doesn't look great at the moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Message and data rates may apply. Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's big plan is to spend a lot of money, but Democrats can't even agree on that. According to Politico.com today, Democratic leaders' efforts to infuse momentum into turbulent negotiations over President Joe Biden's social spending plans are falling flat so far with key players on Capitol Hill. As Congress hurtles toward a crucial week that could make or break Biden's agenda, centrists and progressives remain largely unmoved from their entrenched positions. That leaves Speaker Nancy Pelosi days away from a vote on a $550 billion Senate-passed infrastructure bill without a clear path to passage. So you remember that there is this bipartisan infrastructure bill. The kind of bare-bones infrastructure bill passed by the Senate is $550 billion. Moderates are demanding that she hold the vote because she promised she was going to do that. Progressives are calling for a delay, and they're vowing to tank the legislation as long as they don't get their giant social spending bill, the $3.5 trillion spending bill. Representative Lou Correa, Democrat of California, says, "You're witnessing democracy in full bloom. Everyone wants to be heard and acknowledged. Nancy's a magician." Well, we're going to find out. Pelosi and her team hope that projecting progress in the talks, both with a framework of financing mechanisms announced Thursday and plans for the House Budget Committee to mark up the still unfinished package this weekend, will satisfy progressives enough to back off their threats. Pelosi says, "We'll take it one day at a time. I'm confident that we will pass both bills." But, of course, there's no guarantee that in the Senate, the giant $3.5 trillion bill is going to pass if infrastructure does pass. Right now, the progressives are saying, we will hold up infrastructure to get our $3.5 trillion bill. And the moderates are saying, pass our infrastructure, and we're still not going to vote for your $3.5 trillion bill. So that is an impasse. Senator Manchin says, we don't have any idea what they're talking about. It sounds good if they're all working towards something to present to us after all the conversations yesterday. I haven't seen it. An aide to Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona, she said, unclear what Chuck Schumer is referring to. We've seen nothing. They haven't signed off on anything. So basically, Pelosi and Schumer are trying to just ram this through with happy talk. Even with next week's vote looming, Democrats' path forward is murky at best, as Politico, with moderates and progressives locked in a public standoff over Biden's two spending priorities. Earlier in the day, Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer delivered a cryptic announcement that they, along with the White House, had agreed to a framework of options to pay for their social spending ambitions, an effort meant to show forward momentum in these stalled negotiations. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said, "I think having a framework will add more confidence to people as to what we're planning on doing. One of the big problems is people aren't sure what's going on." House Budget Committee Chair John Yarmuth later announced Democrats' plans to mark up the massive package on Saturday, admitting it would be more procedural than substantive because the bill isn't even done yet. Republicans can force symbolic political votes, which would drag the process out for hours, but the budget panel can't make any binding changes. There's still no budget scorecards from the Congressional Budget Office, which are necessary in order to even pass this thing through reconciliation. The framework announcement came after Pelosi and Schumer emerged from a meeting with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and White House Advisor Brian Deese and Congress's top tax writers. Democratic leaders were mum on the details, refusing to say whether a spate of financing ideas will allow them to move forward next week with either their up to $3.5 trillion spending package or the bipartisan infrastructure plan. So it looks like kind of a mess at the moment. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is cheering this framework that still has not been revealed. He says Democrats could pay for this whole thing and absolutely make sure they follow through on Biden's promise to not increase taxes on families making under $400,000 a year. He says the truth is, it's not hard to come up with approaches to do away with the tax cap and to demand the wealthy and large corporations pay their fair share of taxes. You could do a lot more than $3.5 trillion. Once again, Bernie only cares about spending other people's money. So what exactly is this framework on tax hikes that we are talking about right now? According to the Washington Post, the first word of a potential compromise arrived earlier Thursday when Pelosi and Schumer said the party had worked with the White House on a menu of options, but the reality is a little bit more complicated, reflecting instead that talks continue on some of the thorny issues. In some areas, Democrats have already agreed. They want to raise the top tax rate to almost 40% from 37%. But on corporate tax increases, lawmakers want to raise rates but don't see eye to eye on the amount. And of course, they want to radically increase the capital gains tax. Coming up, Joe Biden's plan, spend a lot of money and lie to you about taxes. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden doesn't really have much of a strategy, but he does have an overall plan. It's to spend ungodly amounts of money and then tell you the rich will pay for it. So Biden and the Democrats have now put out a report suggesting that the wealthiest 400 families in the United States are paying an average income tax rate of just 8.2%. This is according to a new analysis from the Biden administration. Well, there's only one problem with that, which is just it's not true. Like, it's not true at all. How do they come to that 8.2% number? Well, they lie. The analysis estimated billionaires pay 8.2% of their income between 2010 and 2018, including on forms of income that go largely untaxed. So in other words, they are saying that billionaires paid 8.2% of their income. They're defining income as stocks, as bonds, as capital gains. Now, as anyone who knows anything knows, capital gains are not in fact income. By this metric, you can pretty much skew any stat ever, right? You can say that Bob down the street, who's paid no capital gains on the incremental increase of the value of his home, he's paying a far lower income tax rate than you thought he was paying. The analysis by economists from the OMB and the White House Council of Economic Advisors drew from publicly available data and said the disparity is driven largely by how the tax code treats income generated from wealth, such as income from stocks, whose worth increases over time, rather than wages, which are immediately taxed. Yes, that's correct, because we do tax income from wealth and investment differently than we tax income from wages. Why? Because wages become wealth. You already paid tax on that. So we're already double taxing you. Right? You got paid by your company. You then took your money and you put it in your 401k, or you went out and you got an E-Trade portfolio and you bought a bunch of stock. Now Nancy Pelosi and Biden and Schumer, they're saying, well, you haven't really been taxed enough on that, have you? It's like, well, wait a second. I already paid tax on that. I haven't even sold my stock yet. What are you talking about? If I never sell my stock, by the way, I have not realized the gain or the loss. Of course, you shouldn't be taxed the same way on income that you are on investment. Now, one thing that Joe Biden is attempting to cash in on is the fact that most people in the United States are wage earners as opposed to people who are entrepreneurs or investors. But if you remove the incentive for entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs and investors to invest, you'll get less investment and less entrepreneurialism and more wage base. There's more security in not taking the risk than there isn't taking the risk. Nobody ever thinks about the sort of unforeseen economic consequences of this sort of stupidity. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Why we tax these two forms of income differently. The reason we tax capital gains differently from how we tax, for example, employment income is because employment income is very secure. You're taking no risk. You get paid a wage. The people who work at my company know that the check is coming every 2 weeks. Right? They know the check is coming. They've taken no risk because they're walking into work and they are doing their job and they are getting paid. On the other end of the spectrum, those of us who are owners of the Daily Wire have taken a significant amount of risk. We put our own money in, for example, or we took lower salaries in order to start the company, or we took out mortgages on our homes, or we went and we got somebody else to take the risk by putting money in, but then we took on the burden of having to pay those people back over the course of time. None of my employees have to pay back our investors over the course of time. They're employees. So, of course, it's amazing. People will talk about the excess profits to be earned, for example, from investment and innovation and entrepreneurialism. No one ever talks about the excess losses. Okay, most people who take risks fail. A huge majority of people who start in the restaurant business end up not in the restaurant business. Their restaurants go under. Nobody ever talks about the fact. And when you talk about the average profit of investors, those are the people who stay the investors in a business. Or the entrepreneurs, right? Oh, look at the rate of return for entrepreneurs who succeed. You never talk about the people who go bankrupt. Okay, we try to incentivize risk taking because if it were not for the risk takers, if it were not for the entrepreneurs, if it were not for the people who invest their money, if it weren't for you investing your money in the stock market, right? And providing capital so that businesses can use that to hire people, no one gets hired. Employees do not exist without employers. Employers do not exist without risk-taking and investment and innovation. And if you cut all of the benefits of innovation and investment, you may as well turn everybody into a wage earner. The problem is then there's no one left to pay the wages. This is why we tax these two forms of income differently. So Biden wants to conflate the two. He says, how is it possible for millionaires and billionaires that can pay a lower rate of tax than teachers, firefighters, or law enforcement officers? Again, teachers, firefighters, and law enforcement officers are wage earners. This is not any sort of degradation of what wage earners do. They do unbelievably important work. They also are not the people who own the company and take the risk of having to forfeit their house if something goes wrong on the job. The worst that happens to somebody who's a wage earner, I've been a wage earner in my career also, right? I've worked for companies where I was not an owner in the company. And the risk that I took is that the company went under, but that risk didn't attach to me. It was just I would have to go find another job, or that I screw up at my job. But if I've leveraged my entire life in order to start a business, that's a bit more of a gamble, is it not? So Biden is hoping that because so many people are employees as opposed to employers, then we can have the employee base tax the employers. And it was often said in the 18th century, 19th century by political philosophers that the moment that you could essentially have people tax other people to pay for their benefits, then the entire system would collapse. That's what Biden is betting on. The more he makes people dependent, and then that dependency is paid for by people who are not those people, the more you can get people to vote for that kind of stuff. And it's all well and good until the entire system collapses. It's all well and good until there is no one left to do the innovation. We'll get to more of this in just one moment. First, here's the reality. You don't need a big phone carrier to get great coverage anymore, which is why so many customers have been abandoning Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and their overpriced wireless plans that pay for their thousands of retail stores, their latest social initiatives, and those added perks that you pay for but never actually use. Instead, hundreds of thousands of smart families are saving over $800 a year by switching to PureTalk without having to sacrifice coverage. That's because PureTalk is on the exact same network as one of the big three. So, what is your excuse? I made the switch. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you still want unlimited data, you can get that too and still save a fortune. Go to puretalk.com, enter your address to check the coverage at your home or office, and then shop for the plan that's exactly right for you. You can even use their savings calculator to see just how much your family will save. Go to puretalk.com, enter promo code Shapiro. You will save 50% off your very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com, promo code Shapiro. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless. The Biden administration says they want the wealthiest Americans to, quote, pay their fair share. Their proposal includes raising the income tax bracket for the wealthiest Americans back up to almost 40% from 37%. By the way, the United States has one of the most progressive income tax rates in America, in the world. Right? The rich pay way more taxes than people at the bottom of the spectrum. The bottom 50% of income earners in the United States essentially pay zero income tax. The top 10% of income earners in the United States pay virtually all of the income tax in the United States. The top 1% pay something like 40% of all of the income tax in the United States. So Democrats agree that we'll raise the taxable income, but they also want to include capital gains for households making more than $1 million each year at the same tax rate, 39.6 instead of 20%, doubling the tax rate on capital gains. However, among Democrats, there's still some disagreement. In a bill unveiled last week, House Democrats proposed raising the top capital gains rates from 20 to 25%, which is a lot less than Biden wanted. Instead, they wanted a 3% surtax on individuals making more than $5 million. It didn't address wealth passed from generation to generation. Democrats want to tax you for passing on your wealth to your children, which is one of the reasons you care about earning additional wealth. You think that if I didn't care about passing on wealth to my kids, I would continue working as hard as I do? I want to pass on wealth to my kids. I want to give charity. I want to invest in my employees. I want to invest in our business and grow it. I think it's important. Remove all the incentives. And hell, I mean, if you're maxing out what I can give to my kids, I may as well take them on vacations and spend all the money now before I die. If Biden has vowed not to raise taxes on those making less than $400,000 a year, he's lying about that too. He's already raising all sorts of quote unquote sin taxes. Okay. All of this comes as the White House is gambling with a government shutdown. They are so committed to the idea that they can spend us into a new way of life, that they are preparing for a government shutdown. Because let's face this, the government shutdown is entirely avoidable. All the Democrats have to do is not vote on a $3.5 trillion package at the same time that they raise the debt ceiling. That's all. According to the Washington Post, the White House Budget Office notified federal agencies on Thursday to begin preparations for the first shutdown of the U.S. government since COVID. Administration officials stress the request is in line with traditional procedures 7 days ahead of a shutdown and not a comment on the likelihood of a congressional deal. Both Democrats and Republicans have made clear they will fund the government before the funding expires on September 30th. But time is running out. Lawmakers are aiming to resolve an enormous set of tasks in a matter of weeks. House Democrats earlier this week approved a measure to fund the government, suspend the debt ceiling, and approve emergency aid, such as disaster relief. But that plan is expected to die in the Senate because GOP is not going to support Democratic attempts to lift the debt ceiling so long as the Democrats immediately plan to ram through a $3.5 trillion budget plan. With the first of two major deadlines looming next week, Democrats publicly maintain current course. They have pledged to put the House-backed bill before the Senate that would fund the government into December and allow the country to borrow freely throughout most of 2022. Senate Majority Leader Schumer said, quote, every single member of this chamber is going to go on record as to whether they support keeping the government open and averting a default or support shutting us down and careening our country toward a first-ever default. Well, I mean, the Democrats could avert the default by not pledging to spend more money than God has ever seen. Privately, Democrats are beginning to acknowledge they're unlikely to prevail in the face of a GOP blockade. Democrats have started discussing the mechanics of how to sidestep Republicans as soon as next week. We're looking at all the options, but a government shutdown is not acceptable, says Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland. Many government functions are financed through spending bills that must be approved by Congress, including things from the military to education programs before one fiscal year ends and the next begins. Alternatively, lawmakers can pass short-term measures that sustain existing funding to buy themselves time. Absent those actions, the money runs out, resulting in a full or partial shutdown. Now, missing the deadline doesn't bring all government operations to immediate halt. Every time there's a bit of a government shutdown, and this has happened several times in the last 10 years, everybody acts as though the world is going to end and nothing happens. Like, really nothing happens. In fact, so little happens that Barack Obama has to shut down national parks to pretend that anybody cares. He has to shut down, like, open-air World War II memorials so that he can cudgel World War II veterans into being upset. Many of the people who are government employees, they just continue working because they are essential employees. The implications for a shutdown during a public health crisis could be very different, supposedly, according to the Washington Post. Democrats are struggling to advance multiple spending measures all at once. They don't have to do this. They're laboring to advance $4 trillion in economic initiatives backed by Biden. The proposal is tied to a second, roughly $3.5 trillion bill to expand Medicare, boost education and child care programs, combat climate change. In a sign of a new scramble to avoid a shutdown, the Senate's two top appropriators, Chairman Pat Leahy of Vermont, Democrat, and top Republican Richard Shelby of Alabama, huddled Thursday to discuss potentially including a short-term agreement to keep the government funded. That could be done without an increase in the debt ceiling. Right now, however, the Democrats seem to want to play chicken. Well, good luck playing chicken. Well, the reason that we are playing chicken in the first place is because you want to spend money on programs that are relatively unpopular. Nobody's interested in blowing out the debt this way. And by the way, I will note here that it is really impressive how many people on the left have used China as a model of how we should grow in the future, meanwhile ignoring the fact that China basically is destroying its own economy through debt. Right? China's had multiple debt crises over the past 5 years alone, and now they're in the middle of another debt crisis. According to the Wall Street Journal, the current 2021 Evergrande crisis puts the Chinese in a very bad situation because the Chinese have invested too heavily in housing for too long through housing subsidies, so they're experiencing their own 2008 over there. It turns out that debt-led growth is generally a prescription for failure if you never rein in the spending. Okay, in just 1 second, we'll get to the latest with regard to funding priorities, because it turns out that AOC's crying again. We'll get to that in a second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like walking your dog in public without, you know, putting a leash on your dog. Most of the time you're fine, but what if one day your dog wanders a bit too far and something bad happens? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, financial details, you name it. And today, it doesn't take advanced technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. A smart 12-year-old could do it. That's why I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Not only is it incredibly secure, it is also super easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected. ExpressVPN works on phones, laptops, tablets, all your devices so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/ben. That's expressvpn.com/ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/ben. 3 months for free. Protect your internet data today. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Alrighty, coming up, Democrats are in favor of funding pretty much everything, except the squad just doesn't like Jews very much. So if those Jews are going to get killed by incoming Hamas rockets, don't fund anything that defends them or anything. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Sign up for a library card. With a library card, you can discover new and exciting worlds. From borrowing audiobooks, to streaming movies, to taking virtual do-it-yourself classes, there's so much you can access with a library card. Pursue your passions and dreams through your library's resources and programs. September is Library Card Sign-Up Month. Join the festivities by getting your own library card today. Visit your library's website for more information. Sponsored by the American Library Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the squad is in favor of spending on every single thing on planet Earth except Jews defending themselves. Over the past 48 hours, there was an attempt by the Democrats to push Republicans to basically push forward spending bills by including in spending bills things like funding for Iron Dome, which is the Israeli defense system. And the squad voted it down. Like, members of the squad who were in favor of increasing the spending, Republicans voted against it because they didn't want to increase the spending, period. Democrats were in favor of increasing the spending. They just didn't like Israel, at least members of the squad. So Rashida Tlaib, who's just the Hamas in the, like, she's just a terrorist representative, apparently, in the American Congress, because that's all she does, just stand for Hamas. So she went out there and she said she was very upset that now the Democrats brought up, correctly, a separate funding bill for $1 billion for Iron Dome, which is a purely defensive technology. And Rashida Tlaib said she didn't want any funding for war crimes.
I will not support an effort to enable and support war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence. We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes.
Okay, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was like, the hell are you talking about? Iron Dome is a purely defensive system designed to safeguard all civilians living in Israel. The system was co-developed by the United States and Israel and has saved thousands of lives. So whatever subsidy we are paying to Israel, we're getting back in terms of the technology. And pretty much everybody voted for it, right? Everybody, the final vote on this thing had, I think, 9 people who did not vote for it. Ted Deutch, the representative from Palm Beach, he came out. He's a Democrat and finally slammed Rashida Tlaib as the anti-Semite she is. He's only 2 years late on this.
I cannot allow one of my colleagues to stand on the floor of the House of Representatives and label the Jewish Democratic State of Israel an apartheid state. I reject it. Let's be clear. It's consistent with those who advocate for the dismantling of the one Jewish state in the world. And when there is no place on the map for one Jewish state, that's anti-Semitism.
Yes, it most certainly is. And the anti-Semites include Representatives Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, no shock there. I mean, they are just openly allied at this point with Hamas. Ayanna Pressley, the Ringo Starr of the squad. Cori Bush, the BLM congresswoman from Missouri. That's also not a shock because the BLM organization is openly anti-Semitic. Andre Carson, Marie Newman, Jesus Garcia, and Raul Grijalva. And one Republican, Representative Thomas Massey, who voted against because he votes against pretty much every funding bill. And that is why Massey voted against it, not because he's anti-Israel, just because he doesn't like pretty much any funding. AOC is the one we should focus on here. So originally, the vote came around, and AOC voted against funding Iron Dome. Then AOC backed off of it because, as always, she is just cosplaying the revolution. That is all. She wants to be seen as radical, but then, when it comes right down to it, she just wants power and money. That's all she wants. AOC. She wants to run for Senate in New York. You ain't getting far running for the Senate in New York being overtly anti-Semitic the way that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are. But, you know, she did have to cry some crocodile tears. So she broke out the sobbing again after switching her vote. So she knew where the cameras were. AOC made her way down while somebody else was speaking and then pretty overtly started dabbing at her eyes because she was so sad that she had abstained from this particular bill. So terrible that Israel has defensive technology to prevent its citizens from being slaughtered en masse by a terrorist group firing rockets indiscriminately into civilian areas. You can see her approach when she walks up to a fellow congressperson, and she's so sad. She's upset. And she removes her glasses. She knows exactly where the camera is this whole time, right? She removes her glasses, and she starts dabbing at her eyes. Ugh. Oh, the sadness. Ugh. The pain. She is just terrible. So the squad proving itself once again. I'm so glad the future of the Democratic Party rests with these jokers. All right, we're going to finish the week with a piece of good news here. So I know that the Democrats would love to have you continue to panic about COVID for the rest of time. And in fact, you have the education secretary who just came out and said we should actually mandate COVID-19 vaccines in schools. This is Miguel Cardona. He said, not only do I support it, I'm encouraging states to come up with a plan to make sure it happens. I would like governors who hold those decisions to make decisions now that vaccines are FDA approved. There's a reason we're not talking about measles today. It was a required vaccination. We put it behind us. I do believe at this point we need to be moving forward. Yes, the reason that we are not talking about measles is because measles is a childhood disease. It was not endemic among the population. The basic notion that if you mandate vaccinations for small children with regard to COVID, that you're going to wipe out COVID is silly. Yeah, but now we're talking about mandating for small children with regard to a disease that kids are just not dying from in large numbers. And in many years, there have been more deaths, like half of the past 10 years, there have been more deaths from the flu than there have been from COVID over the period of COVID. And yet you have the Democrats continuing to push this stuff. Gavin Newsom, the once and future governor of California, he says that a vaccine mandate is still on the table for kids.
We want to continue to be vigilant. We want to continue to lean in. We still have a lot of work to do. I worry about a winter surge. And so, yes, it's now back on the table to get our kids vaccinated, 12 to 17. We're not seeing the numbers we're seeing for other age cohorts. The decision will be made over the course of the next few days. We have a lot of partners with 1,050 school districts in the state of California, the largest school system in the United States. But it is true, our health director said it today, that this is on the table. It's being debated.
I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Okay, but I told you I'd end with some good news. Here's the good news. According to the latest UK data, you know, other countries actually have data. We don't bother to do data in the United States. We just have our FDA and CDC pretty much just pull out of their ass, and they don't have any rationale for it. Okay, here's the data from the UK. You ready? Long COVID symptoms are higher in the control group than in the COVID positive group for young children at 12 to 16 weeks post-infection. So you're more likely to have long COVID symptoms in a control group than in the COVID positive group for kids post-infection. Not only that, the woman who created the Oxford vaccine now says that COVID is unlikely to mutate into a much deadlier variant and will eventually just cause something that looks like the common cold. So there's your good news, is that we are pretty much at the end of this thing, but they're not going to stop the panic because the panic is how they get things done. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. The House approving legislation that would guarantee a woman's, quote, right to have an abortion. But it is a largely symbolic gesture because Republican opposition likely to doom the measure in the Senate. GOP Congresswoman Jackie Walorski of Indiana says if the legislation ever did become law, it would represent a step backward for the nation.
Today the science is even more clear than it was in 1973. A child in the womb is a living person. And yet my colleagues on the other side remain obsessed with killing unborn babies in the name of female empowerment.
And Missouri Republican Vicki Jo Hartzler says the bill will not protect women's health.
This bill eliminates protections for women and girls facing coercion, neglect, discrimination. It endangers their health, and it ends the life of a living human being with a plan and a purpose from God and who deserves to live.
Also at townhall.com, a setback in the volunteer state.
A federal judge handed down a second blow to Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's order allowing parents to opt out of school mask requirements, ruling that Knox County schools must implement a mask mandate to help protect children with health problems amid the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. District Judge J. Ronnie Greer's decision also blocks Lee's order from being implemented while the legal battle continues to move its way through court. The Republican governor's attorneys argue that, quote, any time a state is enjoined by a court from ineffectuating statutes enacted by representatives of its people, it suffers a form of irreparable injury. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Subtropical storm Teresa forming north of Bermuda. Hurricane Sam intensifying in the Atlantic. Experts say Teresa won't amount to much, but Sam likely to become a major hurricane later Saturday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later,
Extortion 17 requested permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Taguig Valley.
I saw a flash. You seen a flash? Anybody out there, we have a fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 17, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 17, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
New home sales and new home prices both rising last month.
Sales of new houses advanced 1.5% in August, a larger increase than economists were expecting. It comes on the heels of a July increase. New home prices also ticked up in August. The median cost of a new house rose $400 to just under $400,000. That's more than 20% higher than a year ago. Rising prices for both new and used homes, keeping many potential buyers on the sidelines. Rich Thomason reporting.
Ironman World Championship to be held outside Hawaii for the first time in more than four decades. That's because of the uncertainty over whether the Big Island would be able to host the triathlon as scheduled because of the pandemic. Instead, triathletes will be heading to St. George, Utah in May. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, China's central bank has declared all transactions involving Bitcoin and other virtual currencies to be illegal.
Chinese banks were banned from handling cryptocurrencies in 2013, but the government issued a reminder this year. That reflected official concern cryptocurrency mining and trading might still be going on, or the state-run financial system might be indirectly exposed to risks. The central bank complained Bitcoin and other digital currencies disrupt the financial system and are used in money laundering and other crime.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Looking at the Wall Street numbers for today, Dow Industrials up 133 points, closing the week at 34,000. 798. On the tech side, after solid gains earlier in the day, NASDAQ dropped, losing 4 points at 15,047. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, there has been a large controversy brewing in the media over the coverage of the case of Gabby Petito. So if you haven't been following this case, this is a woman who apparently was basically kidnapped and killed by her boyfriend, is the allegation. So it's taken over the media because she's a very good-looking young woman, and apparently she went on this road trip with her boyfriend for 2 months. He arrived across the country, but in her van and not with her. Then they later found her body in the Grand Teton National Park. And this has sort of taken up all the media attention because he's now disappeared, and so they're looking for him. But the media are very much focused in on why are we even focused in on the case of Gabby Petito. When this has brought up conversation about the so-called missing white woman syndrome, the idea being that the media only cover kidnapping cases when it's a beautiful young woman who is white. Otherwise, they just don't cover the cases. And there's an entire article in the Washington Post about this, titled, "As the Petito Case Grips the Nation, Families of Color Say Their Missing Loved Ones Matter Too." And that's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable for, you know, you have a daughter and God forbid something happened to her and she goes missing. You're like, why is this woman getting all the attention? My daughter is not getting all of the attention. Well, you know, the problem is that this doesn't take into account the actual reason why the media only covers certain types of crime, which we'll get into in just 1 second. So, according to the Washington Post, the last time Kimberly Bryan spoke to her sister, Tiffany Foster, was showing off her new car. Bryan cracked some jokes about how it was time, but also told her big sister how proud she was. Foster was getting close to graduating from college. Everything seemed to be lining up for her. That was more than 6 months ago. Foster, a 35-year-old black mother of three from Noonan, Georgia, has not been seen or heard from since March 1st. Bryan and her family handed out flyers, spoke at news conferences, hosted rallies to draw attention to Foster's disappearance, but the cases remain mostly unknown outside their home state. So when Bryan saw the surge of interest in the Gabby Petito case, the difference was impossible to ignore. It does make you feel, you know, well, what about us, Bryan said. When are we going to get her face out nationally? When are we going to get the FBI to come in and help us out? We didn't get that. I'm asking my mom, well, why? And it's no answers. We have a lot of questions with no answers. In the weeks since Petito was reported missing during a cross-country trip with her fiancé, her story has captured national and international attention, dominating TikTok and other social media networks and garnering around-the-clock national news coverage. Partly due to tremendous public awareness, tips flowed to the FBI and other law enforcement agencies, and the body of the 22-year-old woman was discovered Sunday near Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park. A manhunt for the fiancé, Bryan Laundrie, whom authorities named a person of interest, continues. News outlets and social media users continue to track every development. Well, one of the reasons why this attracted a lot of attention is because the media like to cover people who are physically attractive. That obviously is true. It's also true that Petito had been documenting the trip via TikTok, so there was lots of video available, so the media tends to like showing images and video, so that is true as well. But this has been a broader and deeper problem in terms of media coverage with regard to race for a long time. As the Washington Post points out, the groundswell of concern for Petito has revived perennial questions about why some missing person cases attract such a dedicated response, while others barely draw notice, with many observers seeing a racial disparity at play. Between 2011 and 2020, at least 710 indigenous people were reported missing in Wyoming, the same state where Petito, who is white, was lost and found within a matter of days. Okay, well, that stat is a little inflated because a lot of people who are reported missing later turn up. Some 79% of the people who are reported missing in Wyoming turned up. So it's not all 710 people just disappeared and were found dead. That's not the reality. Brian doesn't understand why the story of her sister, a Georgia military college student with dreams of becoming a police officer, has not spread as widely, but she noted, I do feel like it could possibly be because my sister doesn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. Says Michelle J. Yannis, an assistant professor of criminal justice at University of Louisiana, research suggests victims who are white attracted young and seemingly innocent gain more traction in the media. Gianna said research indicates the supposedly democratizing force of social media follows the same pattern of bias as the traditional media realm, and that individuals of color are less likely to receive likes and clicks and shares. She said, I'm seeing a huge difference this time. Every time we have a high-profile white woman that goes missing, I get phone calls first about the case and then about the disparity. This time, people want to talk about the disparity. Perhaps as a result, lesser-known missing people cases have begun to see a boost. On social media, the Gabby Petito hashtag now carries posts with their names. Names like Lauren L. Cho, a 30-year-old musician last seen June 28th in California's Yucca Valley, or Jelani Day, a 25-year-old Illinois State University grad student reported missing, or Daniel Robinson, a 24-year-old geologist who vanished from a Phoenix area job site on June 23rd. Robinson's father has spent the past 3 months focusing on finding his son, traveling from his home in South Carolina to Arizona, hiring a PI. He was so consumed with rallying volunteers for search parties, he didn't digest the news from the United States' end to the war in Afghanistan, which is a conflict he served in. He didn't know about Petito's case until relatives texted him. Before hearing about Petito, Robinson watched the number of people in Arizona vanish every year. And I missed how many people of color and Native Americans and especially women go missing. I had never known those things until it happened to me. It seems like we're being ignored, I guess, like people of color are seen as less important. Okay, well, here's the thing. There are certain types of crimes, I say, that just don't get reported as often. So here are the types of crime that do get reported a lot in the United States. Good-looking white women getting kidnapped gets reported a lot in the United States. Black women being kidnapped, not reported nearly as much in the United States. According to certain studies, about three times as much coverage for attractive white women being kidnapped. Black-on-black crime, nearly never reported in the United States. I have to go to conservative media to see how many people were shot in Chicago over the past weekend, typically speaking. It is not a national news story. Black person victimizing white person in crime, nearly never reported in the United States. It's just not the media deliberately obscure the race of people who are arrested very often, and you have to look at the arrest photo to determine if a black person victimized a white person in terms of interracial crime. White person attacking a black person, extraordinarily covered, right? White cop shoots black person, high levels of coverage. Black cop shoots black person, not nearly as much coverage. Black cop shoots white person, essentially zero coverage. So there are two factors when it comes to how a story gets covered or why it gets covered. One is the identity of the victim, and the other is the identity of the alleged perpetrator or suspect or the suspect in the particular case. Right? Those are the two factors. We'll get to how this plays out in real life in 1 second. First, let us talk about your safety and security at home. So I have a Ring home security system on my house. I can't talk enough about how secure I feel when I am at home or when traveling. Having Ring protecting my home brings peace of mind to me and my family. Today, I want to tell you about a special offer. Head on over to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. You're going to have one less thing to be concerned about. With Ring's home security system, when anyone stops by or I sense something going on outdoors around the house, I know Ring has every corner of my home covered. One of the best benefits, I installed the products myself. Absolutely no hassles installing. You can do it yourself. Again, I am not Captain Mechanical Aptitude, but I could install this. That means you can too. Your whole home is protected with easy-to-install indoor and outdoor cams, and the cams work seamlessly with Ring Alarm. You can see what's happening from anywhere all in one very simple app. It's never been more important to have a reliable home security system. For me, it's Ring. I'm so pleased my family and I can keep an eye on our home no matter where we are, whether I'm recording from abroad or whether I'm recording from just down the street. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build the system right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben once more, ring.com/Ben. Okay, so when you talk about the reporting of these crimes, which again, the media are paying attention because America's horrible and racist is the idea. You have to understand one of the reasons why perhaps black women being kidnapped is not reported at the same rate as white women being kidnapped is because virtually all crime in the United States, or a huge percentage of crime in the United States, is intra-racial, not interracial. So if a white woman gets kidnapped, there's a very good shot it was a white guy who kidnapped her. If a black woman gets kidnapped, there's a very good shot it was a black man who kidnapped her. Well, now the media is in conflict with itself. The media likes covering black victims only when the black victims are victimized by somebody who's not black. If there's a black perp and a black victim, the media just won't cover it. They just won't cover it. if there's a young person, if there's a child who gets shot in inner city Chicago in an act of gang violence, that is not worthy of national media coverage. That's a local news story. If a white person shoots a black child, that's a national news story. The media don't like covering situations in which there is a person of color who's the perpetrator because they feel that this reinforces stereotypes about criminality in particular racial communities. To ignore that is to ignore one of the very relevant factors in coverage of these sorts of issues. Now, there is no question the media will always prefer to cover a story where there's an attractive face attached. That's just how human beings react. And as the Washington Post itself seems to suggest, human beings, if allowed to choose their own stories, do the same thing. Now, if you're browsing Facebook and you see an attractive person was just kidnapped, you're more likely to click on that than you are on the person who's very unattractive who's just kidnapped. That's just the way that the human psyche works, unfortunately. We are all lizard brains. When it comes to the media, there's an agenda at play in how they decide to cover particular racial crime issues. And that agenda does have bizarre consequences because the same exact people who are saying, why aren't you covering black women being kidnapped more correctly, will also say, why would you cover black-on-black crime? That simply reinforces stereotypes about criminality. We can't have it both ways. Either you want all crimes covered, regardless of the perp and the victim, and you want them covered in percentage, right? You want them covered as a percentage of the actual crime, or you don't want that. And if you don't want that, you really don't get to complain when certain stories are covered more than other stories, specifically based on, in many cases, what is the media's unwillingness to cover stories with people of color who are the likely perpetrators. This particular story, by the way, if this had been a story of a woman with a black boyfriend who had been kidnapped and killed in Grand Teton National Park, do you think it receives as much coverage as this story has received? I think it's an open question. I don't know the answer to that. I think it's somewhat doubtful. Because, again, the media don't wish to... I understand why the media do it. The media are very concerned about perpetrating beliefs and stereotypes that theoretically could have negative consequences for people of color. I get why they're doing it, but let's not pretend we don't know why they're doing it. We know why they're doing it. It's the same reason why the media literally refused to report the race of particular suspects while reporting the race of other suspects. Anytime you read a story where a white cop shoots a black person, the race of both is reported. Anytime you read a story where a black cop shoots a black person, the race of neither is reported. There seems to be a reason for this. And the media have an agenda. That agenda does have some very odd consequences. This is one of those consequences where people would like, properly, for black victims of crime to be covered more often. But the rules the media have set up about reporting of crime make that very difficult for them, which is why it's bizarre to see the media like yelling at itself. The media are putting out stories about how bad they are about covering crime issues while failing to acknowledge the underlying rationale for why they are not actually covering the crime issues. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get to another pop culture mess demonstrating that our comedy community is no longer interested in comedy. Instead, they are merely interested in clapter. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, the reality is if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It is just that simple. You're walking down the street, and suddenly the Roadrunner runs past you, and you grab your Acme rocket skates, and you go on after that Roadrunner. And the Roadrunner makes a sharp turn, and suddenly you find yourself over a cliff, and you look down, realize where you are. As you're falling, you realize, should have had life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. In fact, you could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance when you use Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Getting started is simple. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the scheduling for free. Policy Genius doesn't add on extra fees. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice and quite important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, our late night comedy crew, they're no longer doing comedy, like at all. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Corey lived in more than 30 foster homes before she was 16. I thought, I'm going to end up on the streets. That's just how it's going to be.
Thankfully, Corey was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. She earned a college scholarship and has a bright future. But every year, thousands of youth age out of foster care without a permanent loving family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, nothing has made me want to just go out and burn fossil fuels more than what I'm about to talk about. I just kind of want to go grab a bag of coal and just burn it. I don't know why. Something is making me feel... Oh, I know it's making me feel that way. It's that on Wednesday, September 22nd, seven hosts, late-night comedy hosts, decided they would make their shows about climate change. Yes, because comedy is all about organizing your political priors and then being completely on message in completely unfunny ways. So basically, it's like being the environmental committee in Congress. That's true comedy. The hosts involved were Stephen Colbert, James Corden, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers, Trevor Noah, and Samantha Bee. All were participating in Climate Night. If ever you wanted to make Americans feel as though they are on the outside looking in of what the new comedy constitutes, this is a great way to do it. Number one, it ain't funny. Number two, they all have the exact same perspectives on exactly the same policies. So really well done, guys, in completely defeating the purpose of your job. Samantha Bee, who has officially been named repeatedly, I think she's like a three-time returning champion of least funny human being on planet Earth. It goes like the leadership of the Taliban is slightly more funny than Samantha Bee. Samantha Bee says, I'm thrilled to participate in Climate Night, but maybe we should move it up a few days, just because, you know, it's urgent. And then Stephen Colbert said, I'm proud to dedicate one night of my entire show to the climate, so I can say I wasn't part of the problem. I was 1/365th of the solution. Oh, man. These guys are geniuses. Now, this right here, this is comedy. It's like Norm MacDonald and Louis C.K. and Bill Burr all rolled into one. It's just unbelievably funny stuff. The initiative was the brainchild of comedy veteran Steve Bodell. If by comedy veteran we mean that apparently he was shot in the comedy wars, like multiple times, and sustained life-threatening wounds in the comedy wars, that's how he's a comedy veteran, that would be the only explanation for how this has anything to do with comedy. In an email exchange with CBS News, he said he hopes the event can help normalize talking and thinking and even joking about the climate. Yes, it's true. In the United States, no one talks about the climate. And no one thinks about the climate. Climate change is like a taboo topic out here. And nobody ever and no one jokes about it. Here's the thing. Nobody actually jokes about climate change. Because if you make a joke about climate change, then everybody on the left says you want the earth to burn. So they didn't make jokes about climate change. They made jokes about how humans are evil and how we need to completely destroy the economy to stop climate change. Laughing at a problem can help the problem seem less intimidating, maybe even more solvable, said Bodell. Well, I'll try laughing at these comedy hosts because maybe it'll make their problem more solvable. Maybe they'll just stop being terrible. What inspired Bodell to organize the effort, quote, making big basic changes in how the world works is hard. Getting people to hear and talk and think more about climate is one of the necessary steps to making that change even possible. And God help us, late night TV is a place where a lot of people do get a lot of information. Yes, if we can have Stephen Colbert and Samantha Bee jabbering about us, if we can have them just jabber about living standards in the developing world and how carbon-based fossil fuels are evil, that's definitely going to get us all to sign away our goods and services to AOC. He felt one coordinated event might punch through all the noise, and so, climate night. Bodell says when he approached the shows, they seemed pretty enthusiastic about it. The Politburo was into it. They liked the idea of doing something that was both together, but also still in their separate, unique shows. By the way, didn't they do this just a few years ago? Didn't they have, like, a coordinated comedy night? This is, like, 3 or 4 years ago. I seem to remember all of the comedians on late night coordinating on environmental causes. This is just not all that long ago, actually. But apparently, they are going to do it again. Was it Green Month? What was it? It was fairly recently, and now it's going to drive me up a wall. But yes, I remember this happening before. So the late night hosts this is not a complete shock. But in any case, they're doing it again, and nothing makes me want to just run a Ford F-150 for no reason. Like, it won't go anywhere. I'm just going to leave the engine on more than this. So while communicating climate change through comedy might seem like an odd mix, the formula could help reach people who otherwise might not be engaged on the issue. This is the opinion of perhaps the world's only dedicated climate comedian, New York-based Raleigh Williams. Well, you never heard of Raleigh Williams until now, had you? Until I literally just said his name right now, you never heard of Raleigh Williams. He's not a famous comedian. You know why? Because he's a climate comedian. That's why. That's why no one's ever heard of him. Because that's not funny. Williams has a successful YouTube channel called Climate Town with over 60,000 followers. Holy crap, 60,000 followers on YouTube? And he's been doing this for like a decade? And he has 60,000 followers? Huge! He says, I think some people call the sort of comedy I'm doing edutainment. That term is so punishingly unsexy. I want to set myself on fire whenever I hear it. Well, first of all, I mean, don't let me... Don't let anybody here stop you. I feel like if you do set yourself on fire, however, you are a carbon-based fossil fuel, so that's probably a bad idea. Williams says the entertainment aspect is what helps him spread the message to a new audience. Quote, a lot of videos about the climate crisis tend to be depressing or make people feel guilty. And while those videos might be way better than mine, I think they lose a lot of people who are just on the internet for a good time. So Williams lures them in with a good time and leaves them with a dose of climate truth. His most recent video made fun of an Exxon lobbyist, Keith McCoy, who was caught on camera by Greenpeace spilling the beans about Big Oil's efforts to downplay the seriousness of climate change. I get a lot of comments like, I had no idea this was happening, and how is this possible? He says, I think people have a natural sense of justice, and witnessing injustice tends to really set people off. It's very satisfying to see a wrongdoer caught. That sounds like comedy to me. That's it. Seeing wrongdoing punished. Just it. Dirty Harry, the comedy. Good times, man. Good times. Well, the good news is that when we have talented people like, you know, Stephen Colbert and the inimitable James Corden, I mean, no one is as talented as James Corden. Oh, man, if we can take all those talents and we can mobilize them to stop climate change, then that will alleviate climate change by 0.00000000000 degrees. So I'm just glad that we've solved the problem of climate change this way. Really solid stuff happening. Alrighty, coming up, a Democrat finally came out and said it. Rashida Tlaib's an anti-Semite. I'll tell you which Democrat said it, because it's true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligations. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop-in for an hour or more and try it out. Drop-in.mobi. That's drop-in.mobi.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
This is Ted Heidi with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best-tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, if you just wanted like a case in point of a person who hates Jews, Rashida Tlaib would definitely be on that list. Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from Michigan. So, just this week, the Progressive House Democrats decided that they would vote against a bill, the bipartisan defense bill. They would vote against the debt ceiling bill because it included $1 billion in funding for Israel's Iron Dome. So basically, here's what happened. The Democrats decided to put into a broad-based bill $1 billion in funding for Iron Dome in an attempt to get Republicans to vote for the bill. But this is the debt ceiling bill. And the Republicans said, we're not voting for that bill because it's a debt ceiling bill. We're not doing that. Progressives, who normally would vote for the increase in the debt ceiling, were like, we're not doing that because you're giving money to Israel to fund Israel's Iron Dome. Now, here is the thing about that. One. Whenever the United States signs a so-called check to Israel, and I say so-called because, as you'll see in a moment, it's not actually a check, when they actively fund things like Israel's Iron Dome, Israel promptly spends that on American technology. So really, it's just a roundabout substitute for a subsidy to American defense. But put that aside, the $1 billion for Israel's Iron Dome is a really good investment on just an international geopolitical level. Why? Well, because Iron Dome prevents the deaths of probably thousands upon thousands of Israeli civilians, both Jewish and Arab, and it prevents the deaths of tens of thousands of Palestinians because, let me tell you this, if Iron Dome did not exist, shooting down the tens of thousands of rockets that are fired at it by Hamas, if instead Israel just had no defense technology and all those rockets were falling in the middle of Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or Ashdod or Ashkelon, if that were happening, do you think Israel does pinprick response? Or do you think Israel goes in full-scale ground invasion, kills a lot of people? Which do you think happens? So Iron Dome is one of the great technological advances of the last 50 years. It's unbelievable. And funding Iron Dome is in our interest, unless you want to see like an actual full-scale Middle Eastern war, which you probably do not, because inevitably the United States gets dragged into that sort of stuff. The progressives in the Democratic caucus, they, however, are not happy with Israel having Iron Dome. So you have Rashida Tlaib being like, we should never fund Israeli defense. Okay, this is a purely defensive measure. You're not funding Israel's F-22s. You're not funding their night vision goggles. You are funding Israel shooting down rockets aimed at civilian areas, which is just anti-Semitism. You are now just in favor of Hamas rockets being able to hit Israeli targets. That's all. The progressive Democrats blocking the Iron Dome funding were AOC, who now gets to be called an anti-Semite officially, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. The Democrats couldn't get the bill passed without the progressives because Republicans wouldn't vote for it. House Democratic leadership then brought up for a voice vote a separate bill. They realized the gambit wasn't going to work and that they'd actually humiliated themselves, so they brought up for a voice vote. They didn't want a singular vote where everybody was on the record. Instead, they did a voice vote in order to obscure the fact that there are some Democrats who were voting against the bill. The bill was a continuing resolution. It was providing funding in the interim period before a new budget was passed. The White House began working on reversing that decision as soon as it was announced. So they've now passed, as of today, another bill that actually provides the funding. Representative Ted Deutch tweeted, Iron Dome is a defensive system used by one of our closest allies to save civilian lives. It needs to be replenished because thousands of rockets were fired by the Hamas terrorists who control Gaza. Consider this my pushing back against this decision. Representative Richie Torres, progressive Democrat, said a missile defense system defends civilians from missiles, hence the name. Only in a morally inverted universe would this be considered a controversy. Okay, but that didn't stop AOC and Rashida Tlaib from tweeting about it, of course, because they just don't apparently like Jews or Israeli self-defense. So they literally voted against a bill that was designed to fund Israel's ability to just defend itself. Yeah, that one is pretty obvious anti-Semitism. So that is not a... The only shock here is that it took the Democrats that long. Rose DeLauro, who's a Democrat, she said Iron Dome is purely a defensive system.
and that the funding only replenishes Iron Dome. Meanwhile, Rashida Tlaib said she is voting no because Iron Dome supports Israeli war crimes and apartheid system. And then Deutsch went after Tlaib, as well he should. She said, quote, I will not support an effort to enable and support war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence. Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system, war crimes Palestinians need for security from Israeli attacks. So Representative Deutsch then said, I cannot allow one of my colleagues to stand on the floor of House and label Jewish Democratic State of Israel an apartheid state. My colleague who just besmirched our ally when there's no place on the map for one Jewish state, that is anti-Semitism. That, of course, is exactly right. The people who voted against it, Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Andre Carson, and, of course, a Democrat, Ayanna Pressley. So the squad, the entire squad is against funding Iron Dome. On a straight vote on that, okay? That's not no longer debt ceiling stuff. Pretty impressive move here by the progressive left to defend Hamas. And really, just be out in front about it. Yeah, credit where credit is due. All right, in just one second, we're going to get to the latest from Afghanistan, where things continue to be wonderful. They're rosy after we pulled out, right? I mean, it's not a story anymore. We just have a couple of thousand green card holders stuck behind enemy lines. First, let us talk about the fact that as you're on the go day after day, you need your wireless earbuds. I use my wireless earbuds all the time. Whether you're using them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to for the on-the-go audio. And the new everyday earbuds, they look, feel, and sound better than ever. With an improved look and feel, optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these are impressive before you even start listening. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. There's also an all-new awareness mode for when you need to listen to your surroundings instead. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic. You can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with that 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's BUYRAYCON.com/Ben. Save 15% on your Raycons. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. BUYRAYCON.com/Ben. Get 15% off your Raycon order today when you get Raycon earbuds. All right, meanwhile, things going great over in Taliban land. Remember, they were moderate. We were told this by the Biden administration. They're moderating. Well, here's the Associated Press today. Quote, one of the founders of the Taliban and the chief enforcer of its harsh interpretation of Islamic law, when last they ruled Afghanistan, said the hardline movement will once again carry out executions and amputation of hands, though perhaps not in public. Because they wouldn't want video getting out of people cutting off each other's hands, because that's despicable. In an interview with the Associated Press, Mullah Nuruddin Turabi dismissed outrage over the Taliban's executions in the past, which sometimes took place in front of crowds at a stadium. And he warned the world against interfering with Afghanistan's new rulers. He said, everyone criticized us for the punishments in the stadium, but we never said anything about their laws and their punishments. No one will tell us what our laws should be. We will follow Islam. We will make our laws based on the Quran. So that sounds great. Turabi is now in his 60s. He was justice minister and the head of the so-called Ministry of Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. Pretty Orwellian during the Taliban's previous rule. At that time, the world denounced the Taliban's punishments, which often took place in Kabul's sports stadium or on the grounds of the sprawling Eidgah Mosque, often attended by hundreds of Afghan men. Executions of convicted murderers were usually by a single shot to the head, carried out by the victim's family, who had the option of accepting blood money and allowing the culprit to live. That sounds great. For convicted thieves, the punishment was amputation of a hand. If you were convicted of highway robbery, then they took a foot and a hand. Sounds great. Trials and convictions were rarely public. The judiciary was weighted in favor of Islamic clerics. Turabi said that this time, judges, including women, would adjudicate cases, but the foundation of Afghanistan's laws would be the Quran. He said the same punishments would be arrived. He said, cutting off hands is very necessary for security. I mean, I suppose that's true in the sense that, like, once you don't have a hand, it makes it hard to pickpocket. You like, not to get too gruesome, but, I mean, that's yee. He said it had a deterrent effect. He also said the cabinet was studying whether to do punishments in public and would develop a policy. And on at least two occasions in the past week, Kabul men have been packed into the back of a pickup truck, their hands tied, and were paraded around to humiliate them. In one case, their faces were painted to identify them as thieves. In the other, stale bread was hung from their necks or stuffed in their mouths. It wasn't immediately clear what their crimes were. Under the new Taliban government, this guy is now in charge of the prisons, which sounds like it's going to go fantastic. When the Taliban took power in 96, Turabi was, one of his first acts was to scream at a woman journalist, demand that she leave a room of men, and then to slap a guy who objected. He was notorious for ripping music tapes from cars, stringing up hundreds of meters of destroyed cassettes in trees and signposts, which is beautiful. He demanded men wear turbans in all government offices. His minions routinely beat men whose beards had been trimmed. Sports were banned, except for the sport of, you know, chopping off people's hands. But, he says, they're changed from the past. He says the Taliban will now allow TV, mobile phones, photos, and video, because that is the necessity of the people, and we are serious about it. He says, also, we're going to be using these means to reach people. Turabi dismissed all criticism over the previous Taliban rule. Shopkeepers, and then the AP quotes a bunch of people who are like, well, it's not that bad. One shopkeeper said it was a violation of human rights, but he's happy he can open his store after dark. So, yeah, things are going great. Meanwhile, remember that time that we weren't just flying random plane loads of people out of Afghanistan. We were vetting everybody. Remember that? Yeah, we were bringing plane loads of randos out of Afghanistan, as it turns out. According to the Post-Millennial, two evacuees from Afghanistan are now facing federal charges for crimes allegedly committed at Fort McCoy. Arula Nuri, 20, is charged with attempting to engage in a sexual act with a minor through use of force. The victim was not yet 16. Mohammed Harun Imad, 32, is charged with assaulting his spouse by strangling and suffocating her. The indictment indicated that the assault occurred on September 7th. Both men made initial appearances in Madison on September 16th and are being detained at Dane County Jail. The cases are not related, according to a Justice Department news release, which added, quote, the charges against them are the result of investigations by the FBI and the Fort McCoy Police Department. So, great vetting job, guys. What a wonderful evacuation you have done here. Really, really superb. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the mailbag, take some of your questions there first. Let us talk about the fact that you have a great mattress already because you've listened to me and you went to Helix for your mattress, right? Well, now it's not just mattresses. Helix also does sofas via a new company called Allform. What makes an Allform sofa really cool? Well, for starters, it's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You can pick your fabric. It's spill, stain, scratch resistant, the color of the sofa, the color of the legs, sofa size, shape. Make sure it's perfect for you and your home. They've got armchairs and love seats all the way up to an 18th sectional, so there's something for everyone. And you can always start small and buy more seats later on if you want that Allform to grow and change with you when you move. Allform sofas are also delivered directly to your home, fast, free shipping right now. If you buy a sofa from a traditional retailer, it could take months to arrive, and then you need somebody to come and make it for you. Allform takes a few weeks to arrive in the mail, and then you assemble it yourself in a few minutes. No tools needed. I have an Allform sofa, three-seat chaise in the sand color with espresso legs. It's really fancy looking. It's great. It's durable, which is what I care most about because my kids wreck everything. If you need a sofa that is going to stand the test of time and also look fantastic, you need an Allform. And here's the thing. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it or not. That's more than 3 months. Go check them out right now, allform.com/Ben. Allform is offering 20% off all our orders for our listeners at allform.com/Ben right now. Don't miss out. They also offer a financing, flexible payment, allform.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll take some of your questions in the vaunted Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. You're listening to the Ben Shapiro Show.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Nala's got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got 4 dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going to take some of your questions in the mailbag. You have to be a subscriber at Daily Wire in order to get your question answered. So head on over right now to dailywire.com/subscribe, and it might be your question answered next. Rick says, many conservatives have suggested resettling Afghans in Pakistan. This seems very dangerous to me, as Pashto and Dari-speaking areas of Pakistan are known to harbor the Taliban. What are your thoughts? Well, it depends on which Afghans we are talking about. So Pakistan obviously is going to end up taking in some of the Afghan population. If you're an American green card holder, then resettling you in Pakistan doesn't seem like a big win. There might be some other third-party countries that might be interested in taking you, or if you're a green card holder, you really have the same rights as American citizens when it comes to going to the embassy and such. If you're an SIV holder, there might be some other countries that we could look at taking you, but Pakistan seems like sort of a bad place, considering the ISI actively helps the Taliban on a routine basis. ISI is the Pakistani intelligence service. Jim says, hey, Ben, my son is entering second grade in a small town. His new teacher recently received her master's from a major super-lib university, which concerns me in today's culture. My coworker had a kid in his teacher's class last year, told me she was, in fact, teaching the kids about race and sexual orientation. I don't believe a public school teacher has any right to teach children on subjects of gender and sexual behavior. Instead, I see that as a morality topic that should be reserved for parents. I certainly don't want any CRT nonsense put in my son's head either at such an impressionable age. I was hoping you could give any advice on how I could proactively approach the teacher to inquire about the curriculum she plans on teaching without coming off as confrontational. Thanks for the amazing content and everything you do. You're extremely appreciated. Well, Jim, if you just want to find out, you can just go up to her and say, are you teaching about racial justice issues this year in your class? Are you teaching about sexual tolerance in your class this year? You can use the language that the left likes using. You won't come off as confrontational. Only after she says yes should you go to the administration and then be like, yeah, she told me the truth about what she plans to teach my kids, and that's completely inappropriate. Right now you're in information gathering stage. Or you can just ask her for her complete curriculum dealing with issues of race and sexual orientation. And if she refuses to give it to you, that should be a good indicator that she doesn't want you to see it. Jonathan says, hey, Mr. Shapiro, you've spoken critically about America's recent failures to support its allies, such as the protesters in Cuba and the people of Hong Kong. What kind of practical real-world actions should we have taken to help these allies? Should the U.S. have militarily intervened to protect the freedoms of the Cuban people, to protect Hong Kong? What tangible actions should we take if China invades Taiwan? Well, first of all, we should be arming up Taiwan so Taiwan can defend itself, or at least provide enough of a deterrent threat to prevent the Chinese invasion. And we should make it a bristling porcupine of missile defense. And so that's what we should do with Taiwan. As far as Hong Kong, we should have immediately offered asylum to anybody from Hong Kong who wanted to come here, because that is a highly freedom-loving population that is filled with people who are technologically advanced and also tend to be economically advantageous to the United States. A brain drain from Hong Kong would have been a pretty solid slap in the face to China. As far as U.S. military intervening with regard to the Cuban people, I'm not in favor of military intervention in Cuba. I don't think many people are. But what certainly we could have done is continue to provide internet access to the Cuban people, who basically had that internet access cut off. And we should be working with allies on the island to find out how that that regime can be overthrown. We should be strengthening sanctions and not weakening them against that regime. We should be doing, you know, whatever we can do within our power via the intelligence community to end the Castro and successor communist regime in Cuba. It's a disgusting, horrifying regime. Lily says, Ben, now that Biden has pulled all U.S. troops from Afghanistan, could a Republican president send them back in? Or do you think we're out for good until they attack us again? Thank you. Well, I think that in all likelihood, this turns into a sort of policing action. I think there's a high likelihood that we end up with a baseline level of troops in Afghanistan again. Because we have in Syria, we have in Sudan, we have like pretty much everywhere. Chad, Mali, like we have troops pretty much everywhere in the world. I think the chances that we don't end up doing any operations in Afghanistan are pretty limited. The problem is we don't have any place that can serve as a base nearby. But are we going to have to do some stuff? Yeah, probably, because the Taliban are making this place a haven. Alex says, hey, Ben, a few weeks ago, the media reported that the high-ranking Capitol Police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt during the January 6th riot was exonerated after an internal investigation. The fact the public does not know either the identity of this officer or the justification for the exoneration seems to be a stark contrast to other high-profile officer-involved shootings. Well, I believe that we do know which officer shot Ashley Babbitt. Didn't that officer do, like, a full national interview? His name was Lieutenant Michael Byrd, I believe. And the case that he was making is that he had warned that there were Congress people behind that door and that if you jump in and you're threatening the Congress people, you will be shot. The report essentially suggested that he was acting in a defensive fashion. The Capitol Police said the actions of the officer in this case potentially saved members and staff from serious injury and possible death from a large crowd of rioters, the idea being that maybe Babbitt would have led to a larger breach of the doors and that the rioters would have immediate access to the House chambers. That's what the officer himself says. That is sort of the latest. You can examine for yourself if you think that the reaction would have been the same, depending on the identity of the shooter and the identity of the person who was shot. If BLM had been in the Capitol building and a white police officer had shot a BLM member breaking through the door, you can ask yourself whether the media would have treated this exactly the same. Jordan says, hey, Ben, recently I made the interesting decision to start law school in Colorado. I'm from Ohio. I wanted to move to Colorado because it's very beautiful. I've always enjoyed visiting. I knew before I came it was a more liberal place, especially in the bigger cities. I'm also aware law schools lean liberal. I wasn't going to let anything stop me. I really thought I could handle it. I'd find like-minded people to myself. But this isn't happening. In fact, every group setting I'm in, people start to brag they're communists. They even rant about how great Marxism is. Since being here, I've heard some of the most disgusting ideas, things I thought only existed in loud groups on Twitter. Every other word out of the professors' mouths is systemic racism. Everyone seems to universally agree Republicans are evil. So far, this has been a very isolating experience. Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not going to give up. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I feel like I have a right to live in this state as much as anyone else. I won't let a bunch of communists scare me off, but I feel as though I'm experiencing for the first time, firsthand, extreme wokeism. I don't know how to deal with it. I know you lived in California, went to Harvard Law. I assume you dealt with a lot of the same things. Do you have advice for me or people like me? Well, find a Federalist Society branch, number one. You have to find some like-minded folks. Find a church group. Find a Federalist Society branch. Find your Republican club and find some people who are like-minded. And then it can be kind of fun, right? I mean, you can do battle, you can have interesting conversations, and find a group of people on the left who are going to actually have the conversation, not just insult you. If they're going to insult you, just avoid the conversation because it's completely worthless. Jeffrey says, salutations. Do you think the media decided to use the monumental failure of Biden's Afghanistan withdrawal to buy back some of their supposed impartiality? It seems to me they realize there's almost no way to spin this, so they criticize Biden now so they can say that they were just as critical of Biden as they were of Trump. I think there's some truth to this, for sure. I think the media, they find issues where they can criticize a Democrat. And then they're like, yeah, well, we did criticize. Now, they didn't do this with Obama because Obama was God to these folks. They never had a word of criticism for Obama. But they used to do this with Clinton a little bit. They've obviously done it a lot with Biden. Now they can say, yes, we were highly critical of Biden. We are impartial again. No, you're not. Half your headlines are about how the bad things happening are not his fault. Right? The economy will downturn. You'll say, oh, it's because of the Delta variant. You don't say it's because of policy. Border crisis. Republicans pounce. You guys aren't objective, and you, like, being accurate in a shred of coverage does not make you objective. Holly says, hey, Ben, my husband and I are looking at schools for our two-year-old. There are several excellent public schools, including one, which recently prevented CRT from creeping in. Is it worth it trying out an excellent public school, or should we assume we'll need to go with a private school or homeschooling? You can try it out. I mean, get enough information. There's nothing wrong with you taking advantage of the local public school for which you are paying taxes. I went to public school, a very good public school when I was younger, so I'm not anti-kids going to public school. I'm anti-kids going to woke public schools, or woke schools at all, for that matter. Alrighty, we have reached the end of today's show, but we will be back here next week. Make sure that you have yourself a wonderful weekend. I'm sure that there will be lots more news to recap on Monday. Obviously, the situation on the border continues to marinate. We'll bring you the latest on that, plus any other woke controversy that may have cropped up over the weekend. That'll be a two-day period, so I'm sure the left will come up with something. We'll see you then. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Homeland Security Secretary defending the Biden administration's handling of the migrants.
At a White House briefing, DHS Secretary Mayorkas announced that the migrant camp in Del Rio, Texas, is now empty.
There are no longer any migrants in the camp underneath the Del Rio International Bridge.
He also defended the administration's policy of deporting Haitian and other illegal migrants who had gathered in the thousands.
We do not conduct ourselves in an immoral way.
Mayorkas said an investigation is now underway into the U.S. Border Patrol's treatment of migrants. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Well, Sam has strengthened now into a Category 2 hurricane in the Atlantic and expected to develop quickly into a major storm over the weekend. And subtropical storm Teresa forming north of Bermuda, but experts say Teresa will be a very weak storm. Also at townhall.com, just weeks after a near total ban on abortion went into effect in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott now signing a separate bill into law. It will restrict Texans' access to abortion-inducing medication.
Mail-order abortion drugs are now prohibited in the state of Texas.
And Abbott says he's proud of the new laws in the Lone Star State.
We as Texans stepped up and passed multiple laws this session to do more than Texas and more than any other state has ever done to protect innocent, unborn lives.
Well, millions of Americans now eligible to receive a Pfizer booster shot. Boosters available at health departments, clinics, and drugstores. Those 65 and older who got the Pfizer shots now qualify for a booster. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later...
Extortion 1-7 requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others entered the Taguig Valley.
I saw flash, you can't flash.
Anybody out there, we have a fallen angel. A fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
The former chairman of China's top liquor maker has been sentenced to life in prison for bribery. BBC's Celia Hatton reports.
Moutai is the luxury drink of choice for many Chinese elites. The multi-billion dollar liquor giant now commands a quarter of the alcohol market in China. The brand's image is closely associated with the Chinese ritual of lengthy banquets, where many big business deals are done. Now it seems that some of Moutai's deals weren't above board. A court in southwest China's Guizhou province found the company's longtime chairman, Yuan Renguo, had accepted over $18 million in bribes over a 14-year period in exchange for lucrative distribution contracts.
Many Americans struggling to feed their families over the pandemic, they say they've had great difficulty figuring out how to get help. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, supply chain problems slowing the growth of a major shoe manufacturer.
Sneaker giant Nike's third quarter revenue growth was slowed by what it calls supply chain problems in Asia. Nike's revenue of over $12 billion was essentially flat with the previous quarter. More than half of Nike's footwear manufacturing occurs in Vietnam, where a coronavirus lockdown was imposed throughout the quarter.
That is correspondent Ken Lorman reporting. Treasury Department says there has been progress in the distribution of rental assistance to help avert evictions around the nation. More than 16.5% of the billions of dollars in federal assistance reaching tenants during the month of August. That compares with 11% 1 month earlier. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty. So, the Biden administration is faced with this crisis on the border. They're apparently trying to empty this thing out as fast as possible. It's like Gavin Newsom emptying out all the freeway underpasses right before the recall election. Right, all the homeless people are back, by the way. I'm in California right now, and I just went and checked under the freeway underpasses. They are all back because Gavin Newsom was not, in fact, recalled. So Joe Biden is doing the same thing at the southern border. Apparently, a lot of the southern border area under the Del Rio Bridge was cleared, but there's still about 5,000 people who apparently are staying there, according to Politico. A report from Renuka Ryasam over at Politico saying that things are winding down. There's still 5,000 people in the camp. That's much lower than the 15,000 person peak. Mexico has cracked down on the Acuna side, so it'll be difficult for more people to show up. I guess maybe by the beginning of next week, there'll be very few people left, if any, but it's still a zoo because there are so many people, it's hard for volunteers to keep up. He said, I met some asylum seekers at the airport. They said they would be sleeping on the bench. I gave them the number to the Haitian Bridge Alliance to see if they could help them find accommodations. They said, there's nothing in a 100-mile radius. They have the money to buy a hotel room, but no options. So they've been sleeping on the streets. So things are obviously going really, really well over at the southern border. And the Biden administration has come up with a solution. They're going to blame it on the horses. So you remember, over the past several days, there's been this myth that Border Patrol is going around and whipping Haitian migrants, like whipping them, like taking whips and hitting them with the whips, like slave patrols or something. Well, as it turned out, those are called horse reins, and you use them when you are riding a horse. As I said yesterday, I may not be much of a cowboy, but I've seen enough cowboy movies to know what it looks like when you hit a horse on the flanks with the reins of the horse. Apparently, the Biden administration, however, has fallen full scale into the narrative that the Border Patrol here are the bad guys. And so they've decided there will be no more horse patrols. They're actually suspending one of the parts of the Border Patrol that actually polices the border in the middle of a border crisis in order to satiate the idiotic media who don't know how horses work. Nick Miroff over at the Washington Post reports, the Biden administration has now directed U.S. border officials to suspend patrols by agents on horseback in the Del Rio, Texas migrant camp. Psaki said Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas told civil rights leaders Thursday morning, we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. Here was Psaki announcing just this.
We feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response.
They shoot horses, don't they? Just blame the horses. So here you have a bunch of people trying to hoof it across the border. And the Biden administration is unable to rein it in. So finally, Biden just said, nay. Well, the main point is all of this is just horseshit, because there is no rationale for it whatsoever. Okay, they literally took the people who are policing. What are they going to put them on segways out there? Like, this is rough terrain in the middle of a river. So you're just going to have Paul Blart Border Patrol agent, wandering around there out on his Segway trying to stop people from crossing the border illegally. This is their solution. Because, of course, it is never about actually solving the problem. It is just about the political spin of the moment. This administration has no long-term vision, other than just spending oodles of money and making lots of people dependent. They have no long-term strategic vision. Everything is just news cycle of the moment. And honestly, some of this is due to social media and just the nature of things, which is that if you just wait long enough, it will get out of the news, right? We still have thousands of green card holders stuck behind enemy lines thanks to the Taliban and the Biden administration, and no one cares anymore. We just forgot about them. They don't matter. Okay, it's not even the end of September yet. Okay, we only left like a little over 3 weeks ago, and everyone just forgot about the tens of thousands of SIV holders and the thousands of green card holders in Afghanistan, and the Taliban are taking over, and their leadership is saying we're chopping off hands again. It's, you know, they're back and better than ever. The boys are back, and they're ready to chop off some hands. And the Biden administration is like, well, the news cycle moved on. And you know what? That was the plan. Their plan is always, can we delay long enough for people to forget about what's going on and move on to the next short-lived news cycle? That's always what this is. And so every answer from Jen Psaki is not directed at actually providing information. It's all directed at kind of these snarky little comebacks that don't make any sense if you think about them for 10 seconds. So, for example, Peter Ducey is asking about the fact that there are a bunch of people who are being deported into the – not deported. They're being shipped into the interior of the United States. There have been reports now from the Associated Press, from NBC News, that people are literally just being released into the interior of the United States. And all women have to do to be released is claim that they are pregnant, which means that the border is not actually under control. So Peter Ducey asks Psaki about this and listens to her answer. And the entire media is like, slay, queen, because all that matters is the headline of the moment. This is what, by the way, the media couldn't stand it when it was Trump. When it was Trump, Trump figured that too. He figured, okay, I'll just do whatever I do, and 5 minutes later, the news cycle will move on. But Biden is taking advantage of the exact same effect. And because the media are a bunch of squirrels, and they just want to run after the next nut they see, they will... By this time next week, no one will be talking about the border crisis anymore. We'll be on to whatever the next thing is. Psaki knows that, so she can do these slay queen idiotic little lines that make no sense. Here we go.
Are you suggesting you don't believe when women say they're pregnant? Is that a big issue, we think, at the border?
I am not in charge of keeping the border secured.
Do you think pregnant women are posing a big threat to the border?
You tell me.
To the border community? Is that a big issue?
You tell me.
I'm not aware of pregnant women being a big issue of concern to people at the border.
That's not even what Ducey was talking about. What Ducey was saying is you obviously don't have control of the border. You're letting people in. You're not testing people for COVID. You're not testing people who claim they're pregnant so that they can just come into the country. So why exactly would we believe that you have any significant standards for how the border is being policed? And instead, Psaki's like, what do you have against pregnant women? You don't like pregnant women? Are you saying these women are lying about their pregnancy? Don't you know believe all women? Like, what in the hell are you talking about? That's not even the question. Like, if you ask her a question that doesn't fit into the neat little intersectional box, she just rams it into the intersectional box, and the entire media cheers like a bunch of crazy people. Meanwhile, you got this administration ripping its own Haiti envoy. So there's a special envoy to Haiti. The special envoy to Haiti quit because they looked at the Biden administration policies, and they said, this is idiotic. Either you got to let people in or you got to not let people in, but you can't do this sort of half-assed routine. So Psaki just starts ripping her own Haiti envoy. Imagine if the special envoy to Haiti under Donald Trump had quit, and then Trump had gotten up and said, that guy's an idiot. He's not anything. He's the worst. It'd be like, look at him disrespecting members of his own administration. Look at that. What? Violation of norms. Here's Jen Psaki just doing this and everybody going, okay.
Special Envoy Foote had ample opportunity to raise concerns about migration during his tenure. He never once did so. Now, that wasn't his purview. His purview was, of course, being the special envoy on the ground. His positions were and his views were put forward. They were valued. They were heard. Different policy decisions were made in some circumstances.
Oh, well, I guess then it's okay. Like, there's no big deal anymore. Okay, in just a second, we'll get to the fact that Democrats on the border who actually have to live in these areas are still pretty ticked about all of this, and it has not, in fact, been solved. First, here's the reality. You don't need a big phone carrier to get great coverage anymore, which is why so many customers have been abandoning Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and their overpriced wireless plans that pay for their thousands of retail stores, their latest social initiatives, and those added perks that you pay for but never actually use. Instead, hundreds of thousands of smart families are saving over $800 a year by switching to PureTalk without having to sacrifice coverage. That's because PureTalk is on the exact same network as one of the big three. So, what is your excuse? I made the switch. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you still want unlimited data, you can get that too and still save a fortune. Go to puretalk.com, enter your address to check the coverage at your home or office, and then shop for the plan that's exactly right for you. You can even use their savings calculator to see just how much your family will save. Go to puretalk.com, enter promo code Shapiro. You will save 50% off your very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com, promo code Shapiro. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Okay, so even Democrats are looking at the Biden administration and saying, this is ridiculous. Democratic Representative Frederica Wilson, who until now is most famous for wearing crazy hats, she says Haitian immigrants are showing up because they hear that the border is open.
There are cottage industries that have grown around the border where we have people, smugglers, who are passing information to Haitian refugees, Haitian immigrants that come. The border is open, so they have saved their money. They have paid.
And it's Frederica Wilson, a Democrat from Florida. Democratic Representative Henry Cuellar is saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, remember that time when they sent Kamala Harris down here and she was supposed to solve everything? It turns out Kamala Harris has never been able to solve a single thing.
You point out these tens of thousands of Haitian migrants that we know about in Latin America, possibly making their way north, hoping to get to the border between Mexico and the U.S., in the wake of Vice President Harris's trip to Latin America, what do you think the impact has been? Has anything changed?
Without due respect, no.
No. Without due respect. Very harsh words there from Henry Cuellar. Of course nothing has changed. Because the Biden administration has no actual policy. They just have, what can we do at this moment to just get beyond what exactly is the issue? Whatever we can do at this moment to get beyond the issue. Okay, so what is the actual long-term vision here? As I've said, there's no actual strategy here. There is a long-term vision. The long-term vision is, what if we just tax the living hell out of everything that moves, tax it until it dies, and then we use the roadkill? What if we just do that? We'll just tax everything that moves, and we'll spend ungodly amounts of money, effectively nationalizing half of American industries through regulation, right? Either overtly nationalizing industries, or by expanding things like Medicaid and Medicare, or actively using regulation to the extent that effectively the government has prevented you from all of your property rights being exercised, right? The right to property is not merely the right to own a thing. It is the right to dispose of that thing. It is the right to use the thing. If the government gets rid of many of the sticks in the bundle of property rights, effectively, it is no longer your full property. This is part of Joe Biden's actual proposal, right? You will not be in control of your own economic freedom. You will not be in control of your own economic life. And he justifies all of this with just pure idiotic, envious class warfare. So he tweeted out again today. This is it's just his shtick. He is just Bernie Sanders now. Quote, folks, I don't want to punish anyone's success, but those at the top have been getting a free ride for far too long. We're going to change that. It's just pure envy. It's pure class warfare politics. Now, none of this applies to Joe Biden himself. According to a report in the New York Post, quote, Republicans say a new nonpartisan report indicates President Joe Biden improperly avoided paying Medicare taxes before he took office, raising eyebrows and the possibility he now owes the IRS as much as $500,000 in back taxes. Biden is leading a Democratic push for a $3.5 trillion bill to subsidize child care, education, and health care by targeting tax avoidance. But a House Ways and Means Committee drafted the bill when ended an accounting trick apparently exploited by Biden and boost IRS funding for audits. According to Jim Banks, who is the chairman of the Conservative Republican Study Committee from Indiana, Joe Biden wants to raise taxes by $2.1 trillion while claiming the rich need to pay their fair share. But in 2017, multimillionaire Joe Biden skirted his payroll taxes, the very taxes that fund Medicare and Obamacare. According to the criteria provided by the Congressional Research to my office, he owes the IRS and the American people hundreds of thousands of dollars in back taxes. Every American should know about Joe Biden's tax hypocrisy. By the way, it doesn't just apply to Joe Biden. It also applies to Hunter. And remember, Hunter Biden is only rich because daddy is Hunter, is Joe. That's the only reason anyone has ever heard of Hunter Biden, who's a derelict and a terrible person. And I know, a wayward child. We're supposed to treat him like a wayward child, even though he is like 16 years older than I am. We're supposed to treat him like he's a wayward child. He's well into his 50s at this point. Okay, but apparently Hunter Biden, when he is not trying to sell his finger paintings for millions of dollars in a pretty obvious bribery operation, when he's not doing that, apparently, according to Business Insider, he's attempting to leverage his daddy's job in order to make money. And this goes all the way back to when his daddy was VP. According to Business Insider, two previously unpublished emails sent by business contacts of Hunter Biden indicate the president's son requested an annual retainer of $2 million to help recover billions in Libyan assets frozen by the Obama administration. The emails obtained by Insider during reporting on an unrelated matter are not connected to the controversial emails from Hunter Biden's laptop. While it appears from the new emails that the Libya deal was never consummated, the document offers a window into the mechanics of Beltway influence peddling and the stock that was put in Biden's political connections, particularly his relationship with his daddy, who was VP at the time. The first email, dated January 28, 2015, was sent from Sam Jouhari, a Democratic donor with businesses in the Persian Gulf, who has helped spearheading a Libya project. It was addressed to Sheikh Mohammed Al-Rahbani, another Obama campaign donor involved in the proposal. In the email, Jouhari is frank about what Biden would bring to the table and what he says Biden wanted in return. Quote, per phone conversation I met with number two son, he wants $2 million per year, retainer plus success fees. He wants to hire his own people. It can be a close circle of people for confidentiality. His dad is deciding to run or not. His positives are he is chairman of the UN World Food Program, son of number two who has Libya file, access to state treasury business partner, Secretary of State John F. Kerry, son, and since he travels with dad, he's connected everywhere in Europe and Asia. He has said he has access to the highest levels in PRC and can help there as well. His negatives are that he is alcoholic, drug addict, kicked out of the U.S. Army for cocaine, chasing low-class hookers, constantly needs money liquidity problems, and many more headaches. We should meet in G-Strad or London to decide next steps. So, I mean, that's a pretty accurate summing up of everything related to Hunter Biden. But again, the rule is you can be rich and you can influence peddle and you can be corrupt as all hell as long as you proclaim that you are for the socialist ideal of complete redistribution of income. And that's the whole shtick. Because the more that Democrats claim that they are for redistribution of income, the more they hope to change the nature of how American government is done. Which brings us to the budget. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like walking your dog in public without, you know, putting a leash on your dog. Most of the time you're fine, but what if one day your dog wanders a bit too far and something bad happens? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, financial details, you name it. And today, it doesn't take advanced technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. A smart 12-year-old could do it. That's why I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Not only is it incredibly secure, it is also super easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected. ExpressVPN works on phones, laptops, tablets, all your devices, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/ben. That's expressvpn.com/ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/ben. 3 months for free. Protect your internet data today. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Coming up, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they're trying to iron out all their budget differences. It doesn't look great at the moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Message and data rates may apply. Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden's big plan is to spend a lot of money, but Democrats can't even agree on that. According to Politico.com today, Democratic leaders' efforts to infuse momentum into turbulent negotiations over President Joe Biden's social spending plans are falling flat so far with key players on Capitol Hill. As Congress hurtles toward a crucial week that could make or break Biden's agenda, centrists and progressives remain largely unmoved from their entrenched positions. That leaves Speaker Nancy Pelosi days away from a vote on a $550 billion Senate-passed infrastructure bill without a clear path to passage. So you remember that there is this bipartisan infrastructure bill. The kind of bare-bones infrastructure bill passed by the Senate is $550 billion. Moderates are demanding that she hold the vote because she promised she was going to do that. Progressives are calling for delay, and they're vowing to tank the legislation as long as they don't get their giant social spending bill, the $3.5 trillion spending bill. Representative Lou Correa, Democrat of California, says, "You're witnessing democracy in full bloom. Everyone wants to be heard and acknowledged. Nancy's a magician." Well, we're going to find out. Pelosi and her team hope that projecting progress in the talks, both with a framework of financing mechanisms announced Thursday and plans for the House Budget Committee to mark up the still unfinished package this weekend, will satisfy progressives enough to back off their threats. Pelosi says, "We'll take it one day at a time. I'm confident that we will pass both bills." But of course, there's no guarantee that in the Senate, the giant $3.5 trillion bill is going to pass if infrastructure does pass. Right now, the progressives are saying, "We will hold up infrastructure to get our $3.5 trillion bill." And the moderates are saying, "Pass our infrastructure, and we're still not going to vote for your $3.5 trillion bill." So that is an impasse. Senator Manchin says, "We don't have any idea what they're talking about. It sounds good if they're all working towards something to present to us after all the conversations yesterday. I haven't seen it." An aide to Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona, she said, "Unclear what Chuck Schumer is referring to. We've seen nothing. They haven't signed off on anything." So basically, Pelosi and Schumer are trying to just ram this through with happy talk. Even with next week's vote looming, Democrats' path forward is murky at best, as Politico, with moderates and progressives locked in a public standoff over Biden's two spending priorities. Earlier in the day, Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer delivered a cryptic announcement that they, along with the White House, had agreed to a framework of options to pay for their social spending ambitions, an effort meant to show forward momentum in these stalled negotiations. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said, "I think having a framework will add more confidence to people as to what we're planning on doing. One of the big problems is people aren't sure what's going on." House Budget Committee Chair John Yarmuth later announced Democrats' plans to mark up the massive package on Saturday, admitting it would be more procedural than substantive because the bill isn't even done yet. Republicans can force symbolic political votes, which would drag the process out for hours, but the budget panel can't make any binding changes. There's still no budget scorecards from the Congressional Budget Office, which are necessary in order to even pass this thing through reconciliation. The framework announcement came after Pelosi and Schumer emerged from a meeting with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and White House Advisor Brian Deese and Congress's top tax writers. Democratic leaders were mum on the details, refusing to say whether a spate of financing ideas will allow them to move forward next week with either their up to $3.5 trillion spending package or the bipartisan infrastructure plan. So it looks like kind of a mess at the moment. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is cheering this framework that still has not been revealed. He says Democrats could pay for this whole thing and absolutely make sure they follow through on Biden's promise to not increase taxes on families making under $400,000 a year. He says the truth is, it's not hard to come up with approaches to do away with the tax cap and to demand the wealthy and large corporations pay their fair share of taxes. You could do a lot more than $3.5 trillion. Once again, Bernie only cares about spending other people's money. So what exactly is this framework on tax hikes that we are talking about right now? According to the Washington Post, the first word of a potential compromise arrived earlier Thursday when Pelosi and Schumer said the party had worked at the White House on a menu of options, but the reality is a little bit more complicated, reflecting instead that talks continue on some of the thorny issues. In some areas, Democrats have already agreed. They want to raise the top tax rate to almost 40% from 37%. But on corporate tax increases, lawmakers want to raise rates but don't see eye to eye on the amount. And of course, they want to radically increase the capital gains tax. Coming up, Joe Biden's plan, spend a lot of money and lie to you about taxes. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how.
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Payment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden doesn't really have much of a strategy, but he does have an overall plan. It's to spend ungodly amounts of money and then tell you the rich will pay for it. So Biden and the Democrats have now put out a report suggesting that the wealthiest 400 families in the United States are paying an average income tax rate of just 8.2%. This is according to a new analysis from the Biden administration. Well, there's only one problem with that, which is just it's not true. Like, it's not true at all. How do they come to that 8.2% number? Well, they lie. The analysis estimated billionaires pay 8.2% of their income between 2010 and 2018, including on forms of income that go largely untaxed. So in other words, they are saying that billionaires paid 8.2% of their income. They're defining income as stocks, as bonds, as capital gains. Now, as anyone who knows anything knows, capital gains are not in fact income. By this metric, you can pretty much skew any stat ever, right? You can say that Bob down the street, who's paid no capital gains on the incremental increase of the value of his home, he's paying a far lower income tax rate than you thought he was paying. The analysis by economists from the OMB and the White House Council of Economic Advisors drew from publicly available data and said the disparity is driven largely by how the tax code treats income generated from wealth, such as income from stocks, whose worth increases over time, rather than wages, which are immediately taxed. Yes, that's correct, because we do tax income from wealth and investment differently than we tax income from wages. Why? Because wages become wealth. You already paid tax on that. So we're already double taxing you. Right? You got paid by your company. You then took your money and you put it in your 401k, or you went out and you got an E-Trade portfolio and you bought a bunch of stock. Now Nancy Pelosi and Biden and Schumer, they're saying, well, you haven't really been taxed enough on that, have you? It's like, well, wait a second. I already paid tax on that. I haven't even sold my stock yet. What are you talking about? If I never sell my stock, by the way, I have not realized the gain or the loss. Of course, you shouldn't be taxed the same way on income that you are on investment. Now, one thing that Joe Biden is attempting to cash in on is the fact that most people in the United States are wage earners as opposed to people who are entrepreneurs or investors. But if you remove the incentive for entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs and investors to invest, you'll get less investment and less entrepreneurialism and more wage base. There's more security in not taking the risk than there isn't taking the risk. Nobody ever thinks about the sort of unforeseen economic consequences of this sort of stupidity. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second, why we tax these two forms of income differently. The reason we tax capital gains differently from how we tax, for example, employment income, is because employment income is very secure. You're taking no risk. You get paid a wage. The people who work at my company know that the check is coming every 2 weeks, right? They know the check is coming. They've taken no risk because they're walking into work and they are doing their job and they are getting paid. On the other end of the spectrum, those of us who are owners of the Daily Wire have taken a significant amount of risk. We've put our own money in, for example, or we took lower salaries in order to start the company, or we took out mortgages on our homes, or we went and we got somebody else to take the risk by putting money in, but then we took on the burden of having to pay those people back over the course of time. None of my employees have to pay back our investors over the course of time. They're employees. So, of course, it's amazing. People will talk about the excess profits to be earned, for example, from investment and innovation and entrepreneurialism. No one ever talks about the excess losses. Okay, most people who take risks fail. A huge majority of people who start in the restaurant business end up not in the restaurant business. Their restaurants go under. Nobody ever talks about the fact that when you talk about the average profit of investors, the average profit, those are the people who stay the investors in a business. Or the entrepreneurs, right? Oh, look at the rate of return for entrepreneurs who succeed. You never talk about the people who go bankrupt. Okay, we try to incentivize risk-taking because if it were not for the risk-takers, if it were not for the entrepreneurs, if it were not for the people who invest their money, if it weren't for you investing your money in the stock market, right, and providing capital so that businesses can use that to hire people, no one gets hired. Employees do not exist without employers. Employers do not exist without risk-taking and investment and innovation. And if you cut all of the benefits of innovation and investment, you may as well turn everybody into a wage earner. The problem is then there's no one left to pay the wages. This is why we tax these two forms of income differently. So Biden wants to conflate the two. He says, how is it possible for millionaires and billionaires that can pay a lower rate of tax than teachers, firefighters, or law enforcement officers? Again, teachers, firefighters, and law enforcement officers are wage earners. This is not any sort of degradation of what wage earners do. They do unbelievably important work. They also are not the people who own the company and take the risk of having to forfeit their house if something goes wrong on the job. The worst that happens to somebody who's a wage earner, I've been a wage earner in my career also, right? I've worked for companies where I was not an owner in the company. And the risk that I took is that the company went under, but that risk didn't attach to me. It was just I would have to go find another job or that I screw up at my job. But if I've leveraged my entire life in order to start a business, that's a bit more of a gamble, is it not? So Biden is hoping that because so many people are employees as opposed to employers, then we can have the employee base tax the employers. And it was often said in the 18th century, 19th century by political philosophers that the moment that you could essentially have people tax other people to pay for their benefits, then the entire system would collapse. That's what Biden is betting on. The more he makes people dependent, and then that dependency is paid for by people who are not those people, the more you can get people to vote for that kind of stuff. And it's all well and good until the entire system collapses. It's all well and good until there is no one left to do the innovation. We'll get to more of this in just one moment. First, here's the reality. You don't need a big phone carrier to get great coverage anymore, which is why so many customers have been abandoning Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and their overpriced wireless plans that pay for their thousands of retail stores, their latest social initiatives, and those added perks that you pay for but never actually use. Instead, hundreds of thousands of smart families are saving over $800 a year by switching to PureTalk without having to sacrifice coverage. That's because PureTalk is on the exact same network as one of the big three. So, what is your excuse? I made the switch. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you still want unlimited data, you can get that too and still save a fortune. Go to puretalk.com, enter your address to check the coverage at your home or office, and then shop for the plan that's exactly right for you. You can even use their savings calculator to see just how much your family will save. Go to puretalk.com, enter promo code Shapiro. You will save 50% off your very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com. Promo code Shapiro. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. The Biden administration says they want the wealthiest Americans to, quote, pay their fair share. Their proposal includes raising the income tax bracket for the wealthiest Americans back up to almost 40% from 37%. By the way, the United States has one of the most progressive income tax rates in the world. Right? The rich pay way more taxes than people at the bottom of the spectrum. The bottom 50% of income earners in the United States essentially pay zero income tax. The top 10% of income earners in the United States pay virtually all of the income tax in the United States. The top 1% pay something like 40% of all of the income tax in the United States. So Democrats agree that we'll raise the taxable income, but they also want to include capital gains for households making more than $1 million each year at the same tax rate, 39.6 instead of 20%, doubling the tax rate on capital gains. However, among Democrats, there's still some disagreement. In a bill unveiled last week, House Democrats proposed raising the top capital gains rates from 20 to 25%, which is a lot less than Biden wanted. Instead, they wanted a 3% surtax on individuals making more than $5 million. It didn't address wealth passed from generation to generation. Democrats want to tax you for passing on your wealth to your children, which is one of the reasons you care about earning additional wealth. You think that if I didn't care about passing on wealth to my kids, I would continue working as hard as I do? I want to pass on wealth to my kids. I want to give charity. I want to invest in my employees. I want to invest in our business and grow it. I think it's important. Remove all the incentives. And hell, I mean, if you're maxing out what I can give to my kids, I may as well take them on vacations and spend all the money now before I die. If Biden has vowed not to raise taxes on those making less than $400,000 a year, he's lying about that too. He's already raising all sorts of quote unquote sin taxes. Okay, all of this comes as the White House is gambling with a government shutdown. Right? They are so committed to the idea that they can spend us into a new way of life that they are preparing for a government shutdown. Because let's face this, the government shutdown is entirely avoidable. All the Democrats have to do is not vote on a $3.5 trillion package at the same time that they raise the debt ceiling. That's all. According to the Washington Post, the White House Budget Office notified federal agencies on Thursday to begin preparations for the first shutdown of the U.S. government since COVID. Administration officials stress the request is in line with traditional procedures 7 days ahead of a shutdown and not a comment on the likelihood of a congressional deal. Both Democrats and Republicans have made clear they will fund the government before the funding expires on September 30th. But time is running out. Lawmakers are aiming to resolve an enormous set of tasks in a matter of weeks. House Democrats earlier this week approved a measure to fund the government, suspend the debt ceiling, and approve emergency aid, such as disaster relief. But that plan is expected to die in the Senate because GOP is not going to support Democratic attempts to lift the debt ceiling so long as the Democrats immediately plan to ram through a $3.5 trillion budget plan. With the first of two major deadlines looming next week, Democrats publicly maintain current course. They have pledged to put the House-backed bill before the Senate that would fund the government into December and allow the country to borrow freely throughout most of 2022. Senate Majority Leader Schumer said, quote, every single member of this chamber is going to go on record as to whether they support keeping the government open and averting a default or support shutting us down and careening our country toward a first ever default. Well, I mean, the Democrats could avert the default by not pledging to spend more money than God has ever seen. Privately, Democrats are beginning to acknowledge they're unlikely to prevail in the face of the GOP blockade. Democrats have started discussing the mechanics of how to sidestep Republicans as soon as next week. We're looking at all the options, but a government shutdown is not acceptable, says Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland. Many government functions are financed through spending bills that must be approved by Congress, including things from the military to education programs before one fiscal year ends and the next begins. Alternatively, lawmakers can pass short-term measures that sustain existing funding to buy themselves time. Absent those actions, the money runs out, resulting in a full or partial shutdown. Now, missing the deadline doesn't bring all government operations to immediate halt. Every time there's a bit of a government shutdown, and this has happened several times in the last 10 years, everybody acts as though the world is going to end and nothing happens. Like, really nothing happens. In fact, so little happens that Barack Obama has to shut down national parks to pretend that anybody cares. He has to shut down, like, open-air World War II memorials so that he can cudgel World War II veterans into being upset. Many of the people who are government employees, they just continue working because they are essential employees. The implications for a shutdown during a public health crisis could be very different, supposedly, according to the Washington Post. Democrats are struggling to advance multiple spending measures all at once. They don't have to do this. They are laboring to advance $4 trillion in economic initiatives backed by Biden. The proposal is tied to a second, roughly $3.5 trillion bill to expand Medicare, boost education and child care programs, combat climate change. In a sign of a new scramble to avoid a shutdown, the Senate's two top appropriators, Chairman Pat Leahy of Vermont, Democrat, and top Republican Richard Shelby of Alabama, huddled Thursday to discuss potentially including a short-term agreement to keep the government funded. That could be done without an increase in the debt ceiling. Right now, however, the Democrats seem to want to play chicken. Well, good luck playing chicken. Well, the reason that we are playing chicken in the first place is because you want to spend money on programs that are relatively unpopular. Nobody's interested in blowing out the debt this way. And by the way, I will note here that it is really impressive how many people on the left have used China as a model of how we should grow in the future, meanwhile ignoring the fact that China basically is destroying its own economy through debt. China's had multiple debt crises over the past 5 years alone, and now they're in the middle of another debt crisis. According to the Wall Street Journal, the current 2021 Evergrande crisis puts the Chinese in a very bad situation because the Chinese have invested too heavily in housing for too long through housing subsidies, so they're experiencing their own 2008 over there. It turns out that debt-led growth is generally a prescription for failure if you never rein in the spending. Okay, in just 1 second, we'll get to the latest with regard to funding priorities, because it turns out that AOC's crying again. We'll get to that in a second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like walking your dog in public without, you know, putting a leash on your dog. Most of the time you're fine, but what if one day your dog wanders a bit too far and something bad happens? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, financial details, you name it. And today, it doesn't take advanced technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. A smart 12-year-old could do it. That's why I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. Not only is it incredibly secure, it is also super easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected. ExpressVPN works on phones, laptops, tablets, all your devices so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/ben. That's expressvpn.com/ben. You can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/ben. 3 months for free. Protect your internet data today. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Alrighty, coming up. Democrats are in favor of funding pretty much everything, except the squad just doesn't like Jews very much. So if those Jews are going to get killed by incoming Hamas rockets, don't fund anything that defends them or anything. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Sign up for a library card. With a library card, you can discover new and exciting worlds. From borrowing audiobooks, to streaming movies, to taking virtual do-it-yourself classes, there's so much you can access with a library card. Pursue your passions and dreams through your library's resources and programs. September is Library Card Sign-Up Month. Join the festivities by getting your own library card today. Visit your library's website for more information. Sponsored by the American Library Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the squad is in favor of spending on every single thing on planet Earth except Jews defending themselves. Over the past 48 hours, there was an attempt by the Democrats to push Republicans to basically push forward spending bills by including in spending bills things like funding for Iron Dome, which is the Israeli defense system. And the squad voted it down. Like, members of the squad who were in favor of increasing the spending, Republicans voted against it because they didn't want to increase the spending, period. Democrats were in favor of increasing the spending. They just didn't like Israel, at least members of the squad. So Rashida Tlaib, who's just the Hamas in the, like, she's just a terrorist representative, apparently, in the American Congress, because that's all she does, just stand for Hamas. So she went out there and she said she was very upset that now the Democrats brought up, correctly, a separate funding bill for $1 billion for Iron Dome, which is a purely defensive technology. And Rashida Tlaib said she didn't want any funding for war crimes.
I will not support an effort to enable and support war crimes, human rights abuses, and violence. We cannot be talking only about Israelis' need for safety at a time when Palestinians are living under a violent apartheid system and are dying from what Human Rights Watch has said are war crimes.
Okay, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was like, the hell are you talking about? Iron Dome is a purely defensive system designed to safeguard all civilians living in Israel. The system was co-developed by the United States and Israel and has saved thousands of lives. So whatever subsidy we are paying to Israel, we're getting back in terms of the technology. And pretty much everybody voted for it. Right? Everybody, the final vote on this thing had, I think, 9 people who did not vote for it. Ted Deutch, the representative from Palm Beach, he came out. He's a Democrat and finally slammed Rashida Tlaib as the anti-Semite she is. He's only 2 years late on this.
I cannot allow one of my colleagues to stand on the floor of the House of Representatives and label the Jewish Democratic State of Israel an apartheid state. I reject it. Let's be clear. It's consistent with those who advocate for the dismantling of the one Jewish state in the world. And when there is no place on the map for one Jewish state, that's anti-Semitism.
Yes, it most certainly is. And the anti-Semites include Representatives Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, no shock there. I mean, they're just openly allied at this point with Hamas. Ayanna Pressley, the Ringo Starr of the squad. Cori Bush, the BLM congresswoman from Missouri. That's also not a shock because the BLM organization is openly anti-Semitic. Andre Carson, Marie Newman, Jesus Garcia, and Raul Grijalva. And one Republican, Representative Thomas Massie, who voted against because he votes against pretty much every funding bill. And that is why Massie voted against it, not because he's anti-Israel, just because he doesn't like pretty much any funding. AOC is the one we should focus on here. So originally, the vote came around, and AOC voted against funding Iron Dome. Then AOC backed off of it, because as always, she is just cosplaying the revolution. That is all. She wants to be seen as radical, but then when it comes right down to it, she just wants power and money. That's all she wants. AOC. She wants to run for Senate in New York. You ain't getting far running for the Senate in New York being overtly anti-Semitic the way that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are. But, you know, she did have to cry some crocodile tears. So she broke out the sobbing again after switching her vote. So she knew where the cameras were. AOC made her way down while somebody else was speaking and then pretty overtly started dabbing at her eyes because she was so sad that she had abstained from this particular bill. So terrible that Israel has defensive technology to prevent its citizens from being slaughtered en masse by a terrorist group firing rockets indiscriminately into civilian areas. You can see her approach when she walks up to a fellow congressperson and she's so sad, she's upset, and she removes her glasses. She knows exactly where the camera is this whole time, right? She removes her glasses and she starts dabbing at her eyes. Ugh. Oh, the sadness. Oh, the pain. She is just terrible. So the squad proving itself once again. I'm so glad the future of the Democratic Party rests with these jokers. All right, we're going to finish the week with a piece of good news here. So I know that the Democrats would love to have you continue to panic about COVID for the rest of time. And in fact, you have the education secretary who just came out and said we should actually mandate COVID-19 vaccines in schools. This is Miguel Cardona. He said, not only do I support it, I'm encouraging states to come up with a plan to make sure it happens. I would like governors who hold those decisions to make decisions now that vaccines are FDA approved. There is a reason we're not talking about measles today. It was a required vaccination. We put it behind us. I do believe at this point we need to be moving forward. Yes, the reason that we are not talking about measles is because measles is a childhood disease. It was not endemic among the population. The basic notion that if you mandate vaccinations for small children with regard to COVID, that you're going to wipe out COVID is silly. Okay, but now we're talking about mandating for small children with regard to a disease that kids are just not dying from in large numbers. And in many years, there have been more deaths, like half of the past 10 years, there have been more deaths from the flu than there have been from COVID over the period of COVID. And yet you have the Democrats continuing to push this stuff. Gavin Newsom, the once and future governor of California, he says that a vaccine mandate is still on the table for kids.
We want to continue to be vigilant. We want to continue to lean in. We still have a lot of work to do. I worry about a winter surge. And so, yes, it's now back on the table to get our kids vaccinated, 12 to 17. We're not seeing the numbers we're seeing for other age cohorts. The decision will be made over the course of the next few days. We have a lot of partners with 1,050 school districts in the state of California, the largest school system in the United States. But it is true, our health director said it today, that this is on the table. It's being debated.
I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Okay, but I told you I'd end with some good news. Here's the good news. According to the latest UK data, you know, other countries actually have data. We don't bother to do data in the United States. We just have our FDA and CDC pretty much just pushed out of their ass, and they don't have any rationale for it. Okay, here's the data from the UK. You ready? Long COVID symptoms are higher in the control group than in the COVID positive group for young children at 12 to 16 weeks post-infection. So you're more likely to have long COVID symptoms in a control group than in the COVID positive group for kids post-infection. Not only that, the woman who created the Oxford vaccine now says that COVID is unlikely to mutate into a much deadlier variant and will eventually just cause something that looks like the common cold. So there's your good news, is that we are pretty much at the end of this thing, but they're not going to stop the panic, because the panic is how they get things done. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. The House approving legislation that would guarantee a woman's right to have an abortion, but the measure likely to be doomed in the Senate because of GOP opposition. Kentucky GOP Congressman Brett Guthrie says this bill is very extreme.
A majority of Americans do not support abortions with no limits. In fact, 80% of Americans say abortion should be illegal in the third trimester.
Weeks after a near total ban on abortion going into effect in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott now signing a separate bill into law. It will restrict Texans' access to abortion-inducing medication.
There are still millions of children who lose their lives to abortion every single year. We as Texans will not accept that.
Also at townhall.com, President Biden urging those now eligible for booster shots to get the added protection.
The president welcomed the decision by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which endorsed third Pfizer vaccine doses for millions of older and at-risk Americans.
Go get the booster.
He also announced that he'll be getting another COVID-19 shot.
It's hard to acknowledge I'm over 65, but I'll be getting my booster shot. It's a bear, isn't it? I tell you.
Eligible Americans can get the extra dose 6 months past their last Pfizer shot. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Forecasters keeping their eye now on a couple of storms, especially Hurricane Sam. It's now a Category 2, but forecasters say it's likely to intensify rapidly over the weekend. Subtropical Storm Teresa forming north of Bermuda, but forecasters say it will not be a major problem. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
British energy firms now rationing supplies of gasoline and closing some stations.
A big factor behind the problems is a lack of truck drivers. The haulage industry warning that things are anything but normal, and it's pressing the government to loosen immigration rules and recruit more drivers from Europe. The government's resisting that move and scrambling to lure more British people into truck driving. Now officials are urging motorists not to panic buy petrol after BP and Esso shut a handful of stations because there were not enough trucks to get gas into the pumps. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Meanwhile, shortages of computer chips and other raw materials continuing to hit Germany's manufacturers, bottlenecks leaving companies in Germany struggling now in order to fill a lot of contracts. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A major U.S. port, the target last month of suspected hackers.
The Port of Houston, a critical piece of infrastructure along the Gulf Coast, issued a statement saying it had successfully defended against an attempted hack in August, and no operational data or systems were impacted. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Director Jen Easterly initially disclosed that the port was the target of an attack at a Senate committee hearing. She said she believed a nation-state actor was behind the hack, but did not say which one.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. California will be the first state to bar mega retailers from firing warehouse workers for missing quotas that interfere with bathroom and rest breaks. Legislation signed by the governor, growing from Amazon's drive to speed goods to consumers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A Moment in History, presented by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Briggsville is California Historical Landmark Number 7. It was an 1849 gold mining settlement besides Clear Creek, approximately 1 mile east of Horsetown, where early gold miner James Reagan supposedly took gold out by the panful. The town site was located by Ben Briggs and was first known as Breechesburg because the miners wandered around without wearing any breeches. When the first female resident, Mrs. Briggs, arrived, she demanded that the miners must wear breeches or she would leave. Not only did they begin wearing breeches, they named a town for her. Briggsville became the location of the Landrum and Briggs Toll Bridge across Clear Creek in the 1850s, as a stage stop for the Hall and Crandall stage line in 1853, and was the location of the Lean Hotel in 1860. A Moment in History, presented by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Want to get more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
This idea of a bootstrap. You know, this idea and this metaphor of a bootstrap started off as a joke because it's a physical impossibility to lift yourself up by a bootstrap, by your shoelaces. It's physically impossible. The whole thing is a joke.
Some people think that she's not all that smart. And that's pretty generous, I think. She is, she makes Chris Cuomo look marginally semi-intelligent in two-digit IQ circles. Well, happy Friday to you and welcome. We are, as you might expect, at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sobbing, apparently sobbing, on the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday because the Jews might be allowed to defend themselves against radical Islamic jihadi organizations, Hamas and Hezbollah, funded by Iran, which is, of course, in turn funded by the Obama-Biden administration, number one benefactors. Quite remarkable, but AOC yesterday, there was a vote on Iron Dome, the purely defensive system that is designed to shoot down missiles that are incoming at Israeli targets in Israel, coming from the Gaza and maybe South Lebanon from Hezbollah, the Party of Allah, the Party of God, radical Islamic jihadis, Iran-backed. And today's Democrat Party, they're kind of torn. Gosh, I don't know, am I on the side of Hamas and Hezbollah or on the side of Israel? And it turns out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez very much on the side of radical Islamic jihadi terrorist groups, Hamas and Hezbollah. And the Jews, not so good, not on her good list. There's a naughty and nice list, and, you know, the Jews in Israel, they're not, she's not their friend, and apparently she doesn't like them. She is not a good person, and she's as dumb as a rock. She just thinks that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Wait a minute. Let me try that at home. Can you do that? Well, it turns out it's physically impossible to pull yourself up, like off the ground. You can levitate. She thinks that you can grab your bootstraps. And then if you pull on them hard enough, you're gonna levitate. You're not gonna be on the ground anymore. You're gonna be off the ground. You're gonna be hovering, like on a hoverboard, you know, Back to the Future too. And I marvel that people like this become members of Congress and then remain in good standing with the phony baloney news media and, of course, the Democrat Party. But I repeat myself. You see, this is kind of catching on, too, the Democrat Party and the media, but I repeat myself. That's catching on in various ways as well. Kind of like, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. That's going on fairly nicely, I think. Yeah, so AOC, she cried on the House floor yesterday because they passed $1 billion over her objections. She was a no vote, and then she changed her vote to abstain or vote present. She voted present, like Barack Obama did when he was in the State House on that, life after birth thing. Not on the side of babies or anything like that. But the, AOC, she sobbed. She had to be consoled. Another Democrat congresswoman had to hug her and console her because she was dabbing tears because the Jews were given funding for a purely defensive system that cannot be used offensively in any way to harm anyone. All it can do is protect people, Israelis, from being killed. And that includes Jews and Christians and Muslims within Israel, because it's the only country in the region where the three religions are allowed to live in harmony as neighbors and in peace. Now, you know, a lot of the Palestinians are quite radical and make it difficult, but the Democrats, they're generally speaking on the side of the terrorist groups and not on the side of the peace-loving. You know, they love to talk about equity and diversity and stuff. And Israel is the only country in the region that brings all of that to the dance, all the stuff that the Democrats give lip service to, but they don't really believe. Yeah, so amazing stuff. Also, the Biden administration has done away with the use of horses along our border because they're insane, I think, is the short explanation for that. Because they saw a piece of video that they didn't understand, and so they're banning horses. And liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. Keep that in mind at all times. And I was looking up the origin of that. That's not an original of mine. I think that might have been Congressman Dick Armey, longtime Republican, been gone for a while now from Congress. But he wrote a book, and in the book, it's often attributed to him. Liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. And what they do not want to make mandatory, they want to ban. And what they do not want to ban, they want to make mandatory. And now they're banning horses along the border because they made up a lie about what happened several days ago along the border, where men on horseback, probably Hispanic American men, because you know how racist the Democrats are, riding horses. And of course, you're riding a horse, you have a saddle. Now, that's what you sit on for Democrats listening. And you got stirrups. You put your boots in there. Don't wear flip-flops. And then you have reins, which are long leather straps that go to the bit. That's a metal peg in the horse's mouth. And you control the horse that way because it's a large, powerful, muscular animal. And it could trample innocent people if the people were to lunge in front of the horses. And so the Border Patrol agent waved away a person or two using his, leather. Then they called them whips and things, but of course it's not. It's amazing what liars these people are. It is, I was comparing it yesterday accurately and correctly, to the phony, baloney, hands up, don't shoot thing that they turned into a national movement based on a lie, a fabrication, something that was completely made up by a corrupt, drug-addled teenager who is a friend of Michael Brown's, and the news media decided that was the better story to go with, even though it was completely false. And they went with that one for years. They still wear T-shirts that say, hands up, don't shoot, at protests and stuff. Speaking of which, so they're doing away with horses, because that'll make things better. These people are really, they've got severe brain damage, collectively and individually. It's quite remarkable. Speaking of which, the Reverend Al Sharpton went down to the, see how that segued? The Reverend Al Sharpton went down to Del Rio, Texas, where the Biden administration has done like a, what's his name, David Blaine, the musician. Who's the guy, who's the magician, that made the Statue of Liberty disappear? Who was that guy? Maybe it was David Copperfield. It might have been David Copperfield. The Biden administration is doing a David Copperfield amazing magic act. They've made thousands of Haitians disappear. It's just amazing. It reminds me of Brother from Another Planet, where on the subway train, watch as I make all the white people disappear. And they all get off on 86th Street or something in New York, and there's expressed 125th Street, which is Harlem, and there are no more white people in the thing. The Democrats have made thousands of Haitians disappear. And you remember they made thousands of children along the border disappear a few months ago, and the news media didn't even bat an eye. They're like, well, children disappear by the thousands all the time. What's the notice here? But you remember this. They had thousands of children in cages, and they're using fire hoses on them and dogs and barking at them. And break out the hoses. And they were speaking German to them and stuff. And then thousands of illegal alien children along the border vanished. And when asked very politely where they went, the administration didn't really give much of an answer, which is what they're doing now. Hey, there were 15,000 Haitians under the bridge, and then there were 3,000. What happened to the other 12,000 Haitians that were under the bridge? And the administration's response pretty much has been, search me. That's what they're saying, search me. That's their official response. They're pretending they don't know what happened. They say, well, I can tell you that, you know, about 1,400 of them have been deported back to Haiti. Okay, well, that's 1,400. Where are the other 12,000? Okay, at that point it would be, you know, 10,600. What happened to the other 10,600? And Mayorkas, who's an embarrassment to Western civilization, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, he was asked by Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday, what happened to all the other Haitians? And he's like, he shrugs and says, you know, I don't know. I don't have to answer that. I don't have to answer any questions. Don't you know who I am? I'm a Democrat. I'm with the Democrat administration. And, you know, this is a Democrat cable channel, so I can just blow off the question and keep moving, and you guys will keep moving with me. And Jen Psaki, Colonel Klebb, you know, people, there's this little meme going around where she's Peppermint Patty, right? Because she looks like Peppermint Patty. And Colonel Klebb in From Russia with Love, the Soviet kind of, you know, she was sexually aggressive, like a member of the Cuomo family, with that young lady that they were going to send after James Bond. Kind of racy stuff for early James Bond movies. But she looks like Colonel Klebb. And also, I think Dan Bongino calls her Peppermint Patty, right? So now this meme going around with Peppermint Patty, I think, is just lifting from Dan Bongino. But nevertheless, and notwithstanding, it does look like her. And the Reverend Al Sharpton, he went down because he's a Democrat, and he's not real good with thinking either, or talking. Those are not two of his areas that are not. And he went down to the border at Del Rio because he cares very deeply about black lives, not the children being gunned down in Chicago. You see a couple of kids gunned down in Chicago last couple of days. And Al Sharpton's not going there because, you know, that's not really his thing.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one.
Exactly, exactly. But he went down to the border and he was heckled. It was kind of a fun moment because what goes around comes around. And he was heckled by normal people who were yelling at Al Sharpton that they don't want his racism, they don't need his racism, that he's a racist, which is all true, of course. And The Reverend Al Sharpton speech at Texas-Mexico border interrupted by protesters. That's right. They're not hecklers. They're protesters. Because everything's legitimate protest now. Burning police stations is legitimate protest now. The Democrats do it, you know, whenever the fancy strikes them. So we've just got, the border completely out of control, not just in Texas, but elsewhere. The Yuma sector, the chief patrol agent, Chris T. Clem, put out a tweet yesterday saying the Yuma sector agents there encountered more than 1,000 migrants who illegally crossed the border into the U.S. from Mexico on Thursday. That's one day in an area of the border. It's, you know, it's a long border. It's like it's a very long border. And this Yuma sector, more than 1,000 people in one day. And he said this is a new fiscal year record for daily apprehensions. And listen to this, the total of more than 1,000 people that they grabbed along the border doesn't count all the people that got away that they didn't get. How many is that? Probably greater number. He said the total includes migrants from 21 different countries, and he writes border security is national security. And the Democrats are against border security and they're against national security unless it's for Afghanistan. Here's another story that went away. You know, we're pouring money into Afghanistan and resources so they can defend their border. So they can seal their border with Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and with Pakistan. So you remember this, and this just went away, too. We're giving Afghanistan, the Taliban, another terrorist group that the Democrats support. Iran, they support Iran. They support Hezbollah. They support Hamas. They don't support Israel. They don't support the United States. They support the drug cartels, the human trafficking cartels, the child sex trafficking cartels south of our border. Best friend that all these organizations have ever had. Amazing stuff. So we've got that coming up today, to name but a few things. And, you know, I've been talking about this for days. The you know, the missing blonde girl syndrome. And then we had this awkward moment where I kind of agreed with Joy Reid on MSDNC that the media only covers, they say missing white girls. I narrowed it down farther. Blonde girls. They all have to be blonde, from Natalie Holloway to the latest episode. And Joy Reid was very upset because the media never talks about missing women of color. What about white men? Because, you know, they go missing too, but never mind that. So a good piece in the Washington Examiner, I should have thought of it myself. Joy Reid knows she can talk about missing women of color on her TV show, right? Kind of a good point. Yeah, does she know that? I don't know. She's got a TV show. She could reach dozens of people a night and let those dozens of people know that there are missing women of color. And then maybe they'd tell two friends, and they could tell two friends, and then a large number of people would know. Either that or not. So Biden, the tax evader, Hunter Biden emails revealed, and the news media, what happened? Politico admitted the other day that all the emails were real and the laptop stories were real, and the rest of the news media just went to lunch. It's not like they should dig into the emails and what was learned, what they ignored so studiously, like the little goose steppers that they are. So we got that coming up. And boy, a whole lot more. Afghanistan, the weather. The weather's kooky, isn't it?
Did I hear you correctly say that perhaps he was influenced by Gergel?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Are you on Medicare or soon to go on? Some important news from Newsmax. The Medicare Board of Trustees just released a report saying that the Medicare program's hospital trust fund will run out of money in 2026. It's happening sooner than we thought. All this week, Grant Stitchfield reveals the shocking story of Medicare abuse. He talks to the insiders, tells you what happened, and shows you how you can protect your insurance. Watch Stitchfield's Medicare Abuse series on Newsmax at 8 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is America's fastest-growing cable news channel. It's on every major cable system. Just check your cable guide. If your cable system doesn't carry Newsmax, call your operator or switch to a service that does. Get Newsmax on most streaming services or download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone.
takes only a few seconds. Newsmax covers the big stories you need to know. Medicare is in real trouble. Get the facts about your insurance. Watch Stinchfield on Newsmax tonight.
I need tech that can make me as productive in my home office as I am at my office.
It's possible with Staples Connect.
How about a PC that'll help me get the most out of my day and my budget?
Staples Connect makes it possible with the tools you need to work from anywhere. And now get up to $200 off select PCs, like the Lenovo IdeaPad 5i with Intel i5 processor. Explore what's new at your local Staples or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 10/17. In-store only. Limit 2.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-613-7996. That's 800-613-7996. 800-613-7996. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tags, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So it turns out Chris Cuomo, you know, Megilla Gorilla at CNN, a.k.a. Fredo Cuomo, he has a brain the size of a chestnut. The rest of that is all skull. It's skull right to the middle, and then there's a little chestnut-sized brain in there about the size of a squirrel. And, you know, he's well-known as Megilla Gorilla. And now it turns out that he's being accused of sexually harassing a female producer. They got to put that in the headline, you know, in case you might think it's a male producer. At ABC News, he was with ABC News for a long time, and they, you know, they all cover up for Mark Halperin and at NBC and at ABC, groping all the women and rubbing himself against. Oh, you want a job covering the political campaigns? Well, you know, the path to success goes through me, if you know what I mean. Creepy boy. And Matt Lauer, where in the world is Matt Lauer, with his secret button under his desk like it's a Marx Brothers movie or something? And now CNN's Chris Cuomo, accused of sexually harassing female producer while at ABC. He walked toward me and greeted me with a strong bear hug while lowering one hand to firmly grab and squeeze the cheek of my buttock, Shelley Ross wrote. Now, why would this be a problem? It's not, because they're Democrats, you know. A veteran television journalist accused CNN's Chris Cuomo on Friday, that's today, of once sexually harassing her while they worked together at ABC. And she feels that Cuomo primetime namesake needs to journalistically represent, journalistically repent for his behavior. Now, here's the great thing when you're a Democrat. The headline in the New York Times is, Chris Cuomo sexually harassed me. I hope he'll use his power to make change. I'm telling you. But now, see, they spin it. The New York Times already spins it into a positive for him. The accusation just came out 5 seconds ago, and the New York Times already has him making change. See? Not just for it, but the greater good. And, you know, this whole pound me too thing. It got another giant hypocrisy story on them as well. But Chris Cuomo, groper just like his brother, who was driven from office for sexually groping all those women.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Gorilla for sale.
Won't you buy him? Take him home and try him. Gorilla for sale. Chris Cuomo, he's a million-dollar anchor on CNN, and he's as dumb as a rock, and he gets a lot of stuff wrong, and he lies a lot, and he's a Democrat Party shill. You know, his brother was the Democrat governor. His father was the Democrat governor. They were more commonly known as Papa Doc and Baby Doc Cuomo of the Cuomo Organized Crime Family.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
Dumb.
I'm smart, and yeah. I want respect.
That's right. And he had a mood ring. Do you remember when he, apparently, I think he had a mood ring. Is that what he was explaining? And he's talking about his various moods and colors. He sounds like a teenage girl who just got a new mood ring. Chris Cuomo.
Sometimes I feel like a clear stone. Sometimes I start to get a little jaded. Sometimes I'm very sad, and that's purple. The rainbow brings me back, and it makes me feel like I was a unicorn that could eat pineapples and then spit out diamonds.
There you go. He's perfectly well in his social and professional circle. He's perfectly well. So the piece in the New York Times written by a woman that Chris Cuomo groped, ABC newswoman, you got to believe her because she's with ABC News, and you can't just make stuff up when you're with ABC News and you're writing in the New York Times. Her name is Shelley Ross, a veteran television journalist, former executive producer at ABC and at CBS. See, so that gives her street cred. That means she's got serious chops here in the news business. And Michael Piercy is the executive producer of our show. And he's never groped me that I'm aware of. It's probably not likely that it could happen without my not being aware. And Shelley writes, I was Chris Cuomo's boss at ABC News nearly two decades ago, and he groped the boss. Always a good idea. In the news business, most of my bosses were women over the years as well. and said nearly two decades ago, I'm a regular viewer of CNN Today, she says, just to reaffirm her Democrat Party credentials. So I've long watched how he communicates on camera and witnessed at times how he behaved behind the scenes. When she says behind the scenes, I think she's talking about her own scenes. Isn't that true? This year, as he escaped accountability for advising former Governor Andrew Cuomo, his brother, you know, during his sexual harassment scandal, two moments crystallized for me how Mr. Cuomo performs. Performs, that's an interesting choice of term there, how he performs. The first was March 1st, two days before Governor Cuomo publicly addressed the sexual harassment allegations made against him by three women. It was nine women, if I remember correctly. It started out as three. And apologized for acting in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. But he denied touching anyone inappropriately. So he lied. He lied a lot. But he's a Democrat, so he got it smoothed over for him by the New York Times and ABC News and the rest. On Cuomo Primetime, Mr. Cuomo explained to his CNN viewers, few though they may be, I just added that part to the New York Times piece, that because of the sexual harassment scandal, he would no longer be covering or interviewing his brother, as he frequently did. Remember with the big Q-tip, and that was real funny? Ha ha, oh ho ho, ah. And they all knew that he's a groper and a creep, and all these thousands died in the nursing homes because of his executive order and the Wuhan and all that stuff. So he explained to his very small number of viewers the sexual harassment scandal. He'd no longer be interviewing his brother because that made it okay. See, he covered his brother as long as it was beneficial to the party. But when it stopped being beneficial to his brother and the party, then they dropped it like a hot potato. And suddenly, they're just not talking about it anymore. See? Isn't that good? It's convenient. That's how it works for the Democrats. When things get bad, the media just stops talking about it. Because why would they talk about that? That's not good news for the Democrats or for Gubernator Gropey McGropeface Cuomo. So the people at CNN said, well, we'll just stop talking about it. Right? We'll talk about Trump. Instead, you know, those awful, terrible Republicans and stuff. So they said, I'm not going to talk to him. With an expression of great sincerity, he said, she actually writes that with a straight face. I have always cared very deeply about these issues and profoundly so. I just wanted to tell you that. So this nice lady, she heard him say that and said, what? Aren't you the guy that was grabbing woo and beep and deep and you know, all that stuff? He's an ego. He's a steroid head. He's got a brain the size of a cashew. It keeps shrinking. Now it was a walnut, then a chestnut. Now it's a cashew. Now it's the size of a cashew. More of the size of a varmint. He's got a varmint brain. So that's just amazing. And then she says the second moment came this Labor Day weekend after Governor Cuomo had resigned and his loyal confidants and outside advisors were losing their own influential jobs in the fallout. There was Mr. Cuomo in the Hamptons appearing in a photo wearing a T-shirt emblazoned with the word truth. You know, irony. They have no sense of irony. I point this out all the time. She says, for me, his statement of profound concern about sexual harassment and his truth T-shirt were provocations in the era of personal accountability. Of course, that personal accountability thing is a little slippery, too, isn't it? So she had to write this piece talking about how he groped her and all this stuff. I was at the party with my husband, who sat behind me on an ottoman, sipping his Diet Coke, as I spoke with work friends. When Mr. Cuomo entered the Upper West Side bar, where else would it be than the Upper West Side of Manhattan, right? He walked toward me and greeted me with a strong bear hug while lowering one hand to firmly grab and squeeze the cheek of my buttock. He said, I can do this now that you're no longer my boss. He said to me with a kind of cocky arrogance. No, you can't, I said, pushing him off me at the chest while stepping back, revealing my husband, who shot him in the leg with a .45 caliber. Just kidding. He didn't really threw that in, too. Who had seen the entire episode at close range. We quickly left. We quickly left. It's, you know, because he's the all-powerful Cuomo family, the great and powerful schnoz. And, boy... And that's great. Soon after, I received an email from Mr. Cuomo about being ashamed. He should have been. But my question today is the same as it was then. Was he ashamed of what he did, or was he embarrassed because my husband saw it? See? So this, but this is, and this is just the beginning. You know, this is, once one person comes out, you see it again and again. Because if this is your MO, if this is your modus operandi, if this is your, manner of behavior, if you think this is okay with this woman in this Upper West Side Manhattan bar at this moment, then you think it's okay all the time. Right? That's how that works. And as we learned with brother, baby Doc Cuomo, of the Cuomo Organized Crime Family, once the dam breaks, people start coming forward. But, of course, there's this fear because he'll mete out punishment. It's the left. And the left, of course, metes out punishment when women come forward. You may recall when women came forward and started telling the truth about Governor Cuomo, one of the primary reactions was that the lefty women organizations, fake women organizations, attacked the women. See? They attacked the women. They smeared the women. They had these women who are supposed to be feminists, who are lawyers and stuff, but they're Democrat Party apparatchiks, really, and they smeared the women. In fact, there is a story today in Slate magazine, the left-wing rag called Slate. And the headline is, How Did Time's Up Go So Wrong? The glitzy advocacy organization posited that strong women could fix the world. They couldn't even fix their own workplace, says Lily Loof Burrow, writing for Slate magazine. So she's a giant lefty. And she writes about how this, you know, this Time's Up organization, which lefties, women, fake feminists, that stood up to raise funds and to exercise power for the elites. They stood up this thing out of the Pound Me Too movement, which was all because the Democrats had been protecting Harvey Weinstein, and, you know, Rose McGowan came forward and the dominoes started falling. And then the truth that everybody had been aware of for decades came out. And then, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and the Clintons and the Democrats and Bill Gates and Lolita One and the private island and the little girls and all of that, and Prince Andrew, and got all that stuff. And then the dominoes started falling all over the place, and Matt Lauer with the secret button under his desk to lock women in his office so he could chase them around like Harpo Marx with a horn on his belt honking, and he had all the sex toys in his closet in his NBC office at Rockefeller Center. And everybody knew it. Everybody had known it for years. Then Charlie Rose, then Mark Halperin, and the list kept growing and growing. And then they stood up these organizations, right? And they become, well, rich off of them because they're do-gooders, right? But here's the story by Lily Loof Burrow in Slate magazine, How Did Time's Up Go So Wrong? And they said they couldn't even run their own workplace. And it turns out that there was a hostile workplace for everyone there, right? She writes, There had been no human resources department, no performance reviews, no clear paths to promotion. Morale was low, turnover was high, and confusion abounded. But there was a plan in place. After 2 years of operation, a consultant had been hired to nail down salary and title structure and to serve as kind of a human resources stand-in, despite not being officially on the staff. Then, in the middle of the presentation, the consultant accidentally put up a slide that revealed, among other things, senior executives' pay. Oh, that's got to be embarrassing, doesn't it? You're not supposed to do that. Good consultant. What a moron. You're fired. No one present managed to get a screenshot before she took the slide down in a great hurry. Several staff requested that she make the slide public. Just to us, and she said, and she declined. One former staffer who witnessed the incident said, that was so bizarre for me. An organization that applauds companies for releasing pay data, but wouldn't disclose what their pay was. Well, it's standard. Well, you know, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. So this was Time's Up. You see, Time's Up, this left-wing fake feminist Democrat organization. And the story goes on and on and talks about how people were dismissed and abused there and how the reality is that it was just in place to serve the elites. You see, this Time's Up thing. It was learned that their top lawyers and their top leaders were helping behind the curtain, were helping Andrew Cuomo to smear women. Now, I mean, again, this is Time's Up out of Pound Me Too. And they're supposed to be standing up for feminism and for women that have been abused by powerful men. But instead, they were advocates behind the curtain for powerful men and smearing the women that bravely came forward to stand up and speak truth to power, right? So they're all frauds. They're shamsters. And the news has increased scrutiny of how Time's Up operates as a workplace and how effective it has been as an advocacy nonprofit. In the days after, is Tina Chen, you see, was one of the big women. She was the CEO. And it turns out that the New York Times found out that the Time's Up staff was told to stand down when they were contemplating a statement in support of one of the women groped by Governor Cuomo. So they were stepping on any efforts to stand up for the women that came forward, the brave women that were willing to risk it all by telling the truth about powerful Democrat men. But Tina Chen and these frauds at Time's Up, you see, they were actually backing the powerful men and not the women. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, they're just giant frauds. So she was forced to step down, and the embrace of the powerful is embedded in the DNA of the Time's Up organization, Slate writes. Tina Chen stepping down doesn't actually mean anything because you've still got a board full of elite, top of their industry women who are power players. And they go on to explain that really what this whole organization is about is representing the hierarchy of the Democrat Party and their interests, not the women who bravely came forward, and all these frauds, and they and then what are they? They're paying themselves enormous amounts of money, and they won't reveal the enormous amounts of money that they're being paid. The employees there feel abused. They've got they talk about their friends on Morning Joe, and you know how it's this great big corrupt circle fest of Democrats who are looking out for each other and themselves. And this Time's Up organization is just another Democrat Party front group that represents the elite in the party and the men, and not the women that they claim they represent, that they claim they speak for, because they're frauds. They're frauds. I think that's the, there it is.
I don't like what I do professionally. I've decided.
Well, neither does anybody else. Let's go real quick to the phones. Let's go to Ron, calling from Manassas, Virginia. Ron, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good to hear you.
Hey, Ron. Welcome.
All right. I just wanted to say that I'm not that old that I don't remember. I mean, I do remember when actions such as Chris's would be rebuffed immediately by the victim with a loud scream in a public situation like that of get your filthy hands off me, and followed up by a slap across the face.
Right. Yeah.
As she marches out.
Yeah, that works very well. I think you're absolutely right about that. I also remember a time, Ron, when the company that he works for would come out and have something to say about it. But CNN is going to sit on their hands because this whole feminist movement has been alive from the beginning. They're not feminists. They're power hungry. That's all that matters is the power. Now, if you're a woman and you're going to help them, the party be more powerful, then they're with you. If you might be revealing something that could be damaging to a Democrat, then they're going to roll right over you, just like they did with all the women that Bill Clinton sexually assaulted, from Paula Jones to Juanita Broderick to Kathleen Kent. It goes on and on and on. And they never change. They're corrupt. They're power hungry. They're hypocrites. They live by the double standard. They're the Democrat Party and the media. But I repeat myself.
I am Jewish. I am black. I am gay. I am disabled. I am a Muslim. I am a woman seeking to control her health and her choices.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish is
pretty bad.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind. Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
No matter your learning style or experience level, Babbel has lessons designed for you that will get you speaking quickly and confidently.
I tried learning Spanish before, but I couldn't stick with it until I found Babbel.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
I can't wait to use our new language skills on our upcoming adventures.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just text RADIO to 64,000 to start learning a new language today. That's RADIO to 64,000. RADIO to 64,000.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols.
And I'm Deidre Pujols.
And we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
Did you know that millions of people, many who are in vulnerable populations, are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion? And during a crisis like the pandemic, even more innocent people are at risk of falling victim to human trafficking.
Sometimes we all take true freedom for granted. Freedom to live our life.
The freedom to pursue our dreams.
The freedom to watch and play baseball.
But for far too many, basic freedom has been torn away, often violently and often targeting those most vulnerable among us.
That's why we made it our mission to strike out slavery.
And we're sending out an SOS, because freedom is worth fighting for.
Join us. Join baseball fans. Join the fight against human trafficking. Go to strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Do you think that you are an attractive person now because you're single and ready to mingle? Do you really think you are some desirable single person?
I gotta tell you, you know, it's not like this guy's character was ever in question. You tell from satellite photos that he's a slime ball.
Please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Ah, yes. Well, in the First Amendment, says the lawyer, son of a governor, brother of a governor.
I'm sending you a poem.
You're not showing me respect. I don't care about poems.
I'm going to recite a poem.
I'm talking about reality.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Poetry is reality.
Poetry is reality. Yeah. He's deep. He's a thoughtful, kind of leaves of grass kind of guy. Yeah. Kamala Harris is going to New York today to be on The View, to be fluffed by Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. Boy, that'll be hard-hitting. It's like living in North Korea. Your government officials go to these North Korean outlets, and, you know, Mika has a mind meld with people in North Korea. Just amazing stuff. So she's going to be on The View, today, which is going to be another hard-hitting moment for her. I'm telling you. Here's the New Yorker. The New Yorker used to be a legitimate magazine, I think. But they've got one today. Their headline is, "Was the American Revolution such a good idea?" That's their headline. Was the American Revolution such a good idea? You'll not be surprised to learn they think, no, it really wasn't a good idea. We could have been a communist totalitarian hobnail boot death camp. And they'd prefer that. And they say, we could have been Canada. Canada?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.